Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We are here live tonight. Good to be with you. In a second, I'll be right back. It is Monday. Wow, a lot of stuff going on. Oh, a lot of stuff going on. All right, let me get my internet going on here. Let me see if we get that there. I'm not. Got on a little bit quicker than I should have. Thank you. In Jesus. Yep. Just a moment here. All right, glad to be here tonight. Welcome, everybody, and hope you're up on the news, what's going on in Israel. Most of you guys are. Some people may not be. But Israel just declared war on Hamas. There was an attack like never been in the state of Israel. And so really, really sad. Total, complete surprise. No one really can figure out why. They have an excellent intelligence system. Excellent. And they didn't detect it, and they caught them off guard. Caught Israel off guard, and Hamas fired lots of weaponry and you know, just really killed a lot of people before they can even turn around, before they could even do anything about it. It was done. So it was highly structured, highly organized, highly strategically planned. Wow. So anyway, so that's what's going on. And of course, Netanyahu has, in the state of Israel, has declared war. So this is a really, really big thing. Really, 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 really big. And nobody really knows exactly how big it is, but it's very possible this could be a major, a door opening up for the Middle East issues we see in the Bible, in the Word of God. We don't know. Nobody knows for sure. But this is definitely, like, out of the blue. Nobody knew. Israel didn't know. Their world-known intelligence systems did not catch it, didn't have a clue. The U.S. didn't see any signs of anything. So I think it's a sign of the times, actually, of things happening without people being aware of it. And so it's going to be interesting to find out how it all develops. But the enemy attacked. Hamas attacked Israel. We love Israel. I love Israel. So I back Israel. And because of the biblical references to Israel and being God's natural people, we are actually on a higher level than them as far as being close to the Father, because if they're not born again, you know, they know Jesus as their Savior, then they're not really connected to the Father like we are, the Father who created all this, the Father who chose Abraham to be the father of all Israel, and is our spiritual father. So there's a lot to talk about with all this. But tonight I wanted to share with you some very interesting things. Hang on a second. Some of those things have to do with me and PGN. PGN is very much a part of this. I'm going to share it with you in just a moment of how that all those who have been partakers of PGN Prophetic Grace Network and Randy Trim Ministries, how that we have a special calling. And, of course, you know, nobody knows it better than I do because God spoke to me, you know, back in the 90s. I can remember, I don't know the date, but many years ago, that I would be a big part of Israel. And prophetically, or not, I didn't know prophetically at the time, I knew that I was going to be a big part of the end times in that area. And so there's a lot of big roles, believe me. And, you know, I'm going to be part of one of those. And so I've known that since, you know, many years ago. And so we're starting to see more and more confirmation. And the confirmation is not just for me to know it, but it's for you also to know it. And for you to understand that if you're part of PGN and if you've God's called you to PGN, which many of you are, and you support it, then you're going to see why we're going to be a very blessed people in more than just one way, in several different ways. Part of it will be the market transfer of wealth. That will be part of it. But there's much greater things than that, although that is absolutely awesome. And I'm so thankful. On October the 4th, in case you don't know, we actually made the paid, bought and paid for, made a transaction for gold and silver. And we talked for years about how that, like Israel, that not only is Texas going to have its own currency, but that we would be walking out of the system with gold and silver. And so literally that is going to happen now for sure because the deal is done. Now, as far as how much is made and all that will depend on how deep the market goes down. We're just going to go down in some unbelievable ways. That is not good news for everybody. We prophesied it and talked about it for a while now. So those of us who have been listening and hearing and believing, at least partially believing these words, are going to find out very soon exactly what God has called you to and what he says to be a part of without you even knowing it, which is the most beautiful part of it all. October the 4th, remember the date, October the 4th, okay? That's the date that we actually made the transaction and bought and paid for the gold wealth transfer of gold and silver. And I'll talk more about that in the future as God allows me to, but just trust me. It's the beginning of great things, but it's just one of many things that, and I'm going to share even more tonight with you. An amazing thing with the number 70. You remember the 70 number, right? Remember how it was, how many years did Queen Elizabeth rule on the throne before she died? Remember that? Let's go here and look at I got the information here somewhere. The queen died on September the 8th, 2022. Remember that? September the 8th, that's almost exactly a year ago. Well, you know, a year and a month. Well, gosh, say, yeah. Today's the 9th, so it's a year and a month and a day. And so almost exactly a year ago, on Thursday, the queen passed away. Right, she was on the throne for 70 years. Remember the number 70. She entered into her 70th year in 2022, I think February 2022, something like that. But she was in her 70th year. That's a fact. On PGN, 4 days later, on the 12th of September, on a Monday, 4 days after her death, I revealed the name of the Antichrist. After about 12 years or so, you know, of receiving that name from God, as he made it known to me, it was highly classified information, right? He wouldn't let me share it with anybody. And so I gave hints, you know, about him being redheaded and wealthy, a prominent Jewish family, and his age and that kind of thing. Until the queen died, and she died in her 70th year. She was like 80-something years old, 89, something like that. I don't remember exactly how she was, but maybe 96. But she ruled on the throne for 70 years. And until the queen died, when the queen died, actually was the very day that began. God, I don't know how to explain this. That's the night that I shared more with you because some questions that I had sent to me, and we've talked all about that before, but I had some questions sent to me about you think the queen dying, or in fact, Tanisha sent that to me on on the, I don't have all the information right in front of me. Anyway, it was right after lunch. So forgive me if I'm not getting this all straight. I got a lot of information to download today, so get ready. All right, so on that day, on the 8th of September, on a Thursday night, on a Thursday night show, I gave more information about who the Antichrist is and how they're connected to the Queen. Some of you might remember that. How the Antichrist, Nathan Rothschild, and his family were very, very connected to the Queen and also to the Catholic Church and a lot of other things. They're connected to a lot of things because they're financial people. They loan money. They help people. They're, you know, helping people with money and all kinds of things. So people love them because of that. And so, so after 12 years, when the Queen died, that triggered it where I could give the name of the Antichrist, you know. And so that night when I shared information, I was shocked that people asked me, is it a Rothschild? Is it a Rothschild? Several people did it. Some of them didn't, but said, is it Rothschild? And because I guess they were Googling it. You could Google that information I gave and find that out. So, you know, so that's what happened. And so it shocked me. I just went into shock over that. I said, God, what's going on? It's freaking me out because it's been such a secret. Then on Monday, which was on the 12th of September, 4 days later, Spirit of God said to me, tell them now. So on September the 12th, 2022, on a Monday show, I gave you the full name of the Antichrist. And then the amazing thing after that, we've not heard anything about red heifers much. I mean, I haven't had, I think they've had a little bit of talk here and there about them. But, so 3 days later, on Wednesday, they announced that they have a red heifer. And so, so anyway, kind of find out, long story short, that the people who had the red heifer were from Texas, which happened to be right down the street from me where I live, you know. So what I call right down the street, it was, you know, a few miles down the road, but it was, you know, very close. And so then I found out that the people were friends of mine, or my friend was the brother, Brian, my friend, was the brother of the guy who actually grew the red heifers. They've been growing up for years. I didn't have a clue. I didn't know anything about that. I never really was interested in the red heifer. Wasn't sure what the red heifer was exactly and what it all meant. And so I found out that not only did we get the name of the Antichrist after 12 years or so holding the secret, on 4 days after the Queen died and had her 70th year of reigning, but now the red heifer shows up out of the blue, and it just happened to be right down the street. Now, all that may not mean a lot to you, maybe, but to me, it was like God's going, I've been trying to tell you, get ready, because it's time. It's time. I'm going, okay, it's time. It's time. And I was like, as you guys know, I talked about it for week after week after week, because you have to know from my end, it was much bigger than just the red heifer showing up. And it was much bigger than that. It was more confirmation to me that not only is God telling me to do what I want to do with Israel, be a part of it, but also that it was time, that the time was now. So whatever now means with God could be, you know, you never know. So I'm still going like, okay, you know, so things are happening. And then we begin to talk about the crash of the economy, that I knew the date of that, the day, the month, and the year of that crash. And though that was also confidential, couldn't give that information also. One of the things that just happened recently is, as you know, is that October the 4th, which is just a few days ago, I made, after bunches and bunches of considerations of how to make the wealth transfer in specific and how to do, what to do, is it all going to be gold and silver and, you know, investments? Is it going to be just buying gold? What's it going to be? We're just going to invest in the market? You know, how are we going to do this thing? And you just had to read from my end, there were so many different ways to do it. And so it boiled down to we did what we did. And so that happened, that transaction. Now, listen to this. That just happened on the 4th of October. right? That just happened on the 4th of October. And so hang on a second here. Yeah, that was on Wednesday. We sealed the deal on Wednesday on the 4th of October. And then four days later, on the 7th of October, the Israeli government declared war. I mean, war. And this is a big thing, y'all. This is a really big thing. A really, really big thing. In fact, one of our PGN friends who is really close to PGN sent me a text on Wednesday when they were doing all the alert things, you know, and they said, I don't have the quote right in front of me, but they said something like, it's on, Brother Randy, war. War is on. Let me see if I can get that exact quote. I don't want to give names without permission. Here's the exact quote. It's on, Prophet Randy. War is on the horizon. Keep your eyes on Ukraine and Russia. And that was the end of it. And so that was on, I believe that was on Wednesday, which was basically the same day that I made the transaction, which I thought was really interesting. And then saying, it's on, Prophet Randy. War is on the horizon. I mean, that was alert. That was sent to me, you know, like, and I saw it. I went, what? Oh my gosh! Why are they saying that? I mean, I didn't know that, you know, but why are they saying that? War is on the horizon. Keep your eyes on Ukraine and Russia. And so I'm going like, okay, interesting. So what happens, you know, on Saturday? The same day that this was sent to me was the same day that I made the transaction. Was it the same day? I got to make sure I get my numbers right. I'll mess this up. Yeah, it was on a Wednesday. And the same day on a Wednesday when they were doing the alerts, remember that's the day that they started doing the alerts. Somebody might help me remember what they call that exactly because I'm doing this kind of off the cuff here. So on the 4th, I made a transaction for gold and silver. That was a done deal, bought and paid for. The same day, later that day, I got that text that said, war is on the horizon. Keep your eyes on Russia and Ukraine. And on Saturday, what happened? Well, war was declared, right, on Hamas. I mean, I saw that, and I texted a person. I thought, oh, my gosh, look what happened. It's amazing. And so it's truly amazing. I'm very excited, especially somebody from PGN, one of our family who love us, got that information. And so I'm very, very proud of that. It's nothing like having our PGN friends. We've had several different PGN people get different things. It's been so cool to watch how PGN, our PGN prophets and teachers and those who share have gotten information, you know, about different things. And so if we find out about it, we try to let you know, hey, so-and-so got this word. And that's what I'm doing tonight. When I get permission to give that name, I will. But tonight I'm just sharing with you that actually happened. That's all documented. Everything's documented, especially when you do it by text. And so that was very, very cool. I was very excited about that, especially because I'm a PGN person, right? A PGN person who loves and supports PGN. And so I'm going like, oh, my God. And then the war breaks out. And then I realized it's on my birthday. Saturday was my birthday. And not only was it my birthday, y'all, but it was my 70th birthday, believe that or not. I know I sound like I'm 50. I probably really am. But according to my birth certificate, I was born on October the 7th, 1953. And, so on my 70th birthday, now watch this, Queen Elizabeth's 70th year of reign, when she died, is the day we named the Antichrist, right? Y'all know this is all factual, you know. And then 4 days later, on the 12th, we actually gave the name, right? So the queen dies. She was in her 70th year of reigning on the throne. Very beautiful, very amazing. And then, you know, when this war happened, and we just made the transaction for the gold. You have to remember all this stuff. What brought up the gold and silver all these years? Well, every Thursday when we do Below the Doorpost, almost every Thursday we talk about how they walked out with the gold and the silver and how that we are going to do the same thing. We're going to walk out of the system with gold and silver. More than that, too, but that was the main thrust of that whole prophetic revelation, right? Gold and silver, gold and silver. It's going to be the new currency. And then I started prophesying about Texas having a currency of backed by gold. And so that's in process. We thought it was a vote in for sure, but we found out that it hasn't quite yet been, but they're working on it. And so it, the fact that they're doing it, it's a process, to me, is amazing. And so here, Queen Elizabeth dies in their seventh year of being on the throne. And we reveal the name of the Antichrist. 3 days later after that, gave the name out, then the red heifer situation showed up, and it just happened to be down the street from me, right? So I'm getting a little bit nervous in a good way, like going, oh, my God, Michael the Archangel, he told me such a thing. Yeah, like, he didn't tell me what was happening, but anyway, I can't get into all that right now. We'll talk about that later. But the things that he has opened up for me to know, and it's been truly amazing. And so when Israel came out of Egypt, they came out with the gold and silver, right? And so the day we make the deal, the gold and silver, on October the 4th, then, you know, a few days later, you know, Israel's going to war and declaring war on my birthday, which happens to be my 70th birthday, right? So I'm going like, okay, these 70 things are getting a little bit crazy, and I have some signs that God gave me that I documented. One time, Julie and I were driving down the street, and we saw a sign in the cloud. We saw a sign in the cloud, right? We looked up and saw this sign in the cloud. Going like, so we stopped. I said, stop the car. A van, she stopped the van. She loves clouds. You know, she loves clouds. No, so we're looking at the cloud. I'm going, do you see that? She goes, yeah, it looked like a bear. It looked like a bear. I mean, literally looked like a bear. And so it went on. And so the time of it was, and the temperature and everything, it's all on written in the van, you know, the time, temperature, and all that lined up. It was 70, 70, 70. I think it had 370. I'm trying to find that exact photo that I made that I documented, and it had 70 three times. And I'm going like, there's something about the 70, girl. She goes, yeah, I guess so. This is really amazing. And so we talked about it, and it was really cool. And so we kind of went on, and I couldn't get much more on it. So anyway, this 70 thing, and I'm just going to cut it short a little bit tonight, but the 70-year thing, I'm going to talk a little bit about that just for a moment, so you guys bear with me as I share this with you. Let's see. The queen was on the 6th of February, 2022, the Majesty of the Queen became the first British monarch to celebrate a platinum jubilee, marking 70 years of service to the people of the United Kingdom, the realms and the Commonwealth. So she announced on February the 2nd, she died in September. She's talking about this, being very healthy, very sharp mind. She's talking about this on February the 6th, 2022. Majesty the Queen became the first British monarch to celebrate a platinum jubilee, marking 70 years of service. All right. So we're talking about jubilees here. Queen Elizabeth the II coronation day was June 1953. Israel built. Okay, here's another number for 70. There's probably a lot more out there. You guys find some 70s, let me know. But remember when Cyrus, remember the Trump-Cyrus thing? People said Trump was like Cyrus. Well, Cyrus, the real Cyrus, back in the days, Israel built the temple after 70 years because Cyrus came in and, you know, set them free, right? And so Cyrus had, they began to rebuild their temple after 70 years of rebuilding the temple. So you got to remember this. We're talking about rebuilding the temple. So we're looking at rebuilding the temple very soon too, right? Because the Jewish worship practices had languished during the 70 years of the Jewish captivity. Right? Some commentators point to Cyrus's decree to rebuild Jerusalem as the official beginning of Judaism. I'm reading somebody else's quote here. All right. So there's a lot more to the 70s. I'm going to stop right there for now. But anyway, so it's very, very interesting that all this is happening. And it's very significant to the fact that, you know, so I'm going to tell you tonight the reason that the war that is now on, like my friend said on Wednesday, that war, they didn't say that the war was, that Israel's going to be at war, but it's amazing that 3 days later, you know, you got war going on in Israel, which is totally just out of the blue, right? So I count that word as, you know, right on. Now, how the Russia and Ukraine thing, I think it fits in there somehow. I really don't know what was going on with all that word, but I'm going to receive the whole thing and believe that somehow it all fits together in a beautiful thing. So, but see, the fact is that this person was saying war is on the horizon. Yeah, war is on the horizon. And so I thought that was, okay, I have the permission. That's Carmen who did that. Yeah, Carmen said, you have my permission. Okay, thank you. Carmen sent me that word. Thank you, Carmen. I wasn't sure if I had permission to do that. I didn't want to mess up anything on that. So Carmen from Texas sent me a text, and I read it to you already, what it said. Now that you know who it is, let me tell you what she said again. I hadn't asked for permission to share this, so. Okay, I'm trying to find it again. Give me a second here. There we go. Okay, it's way down the text. Okay, it says on Wednesday at 4:21 p.m., Wednesday, it's the same day that I had around noon, completed and finally made the transaction of the gold and silver. Then she sends me this text at 4:21 p.m. on Wednesday, the same day I did that transaction, which, you know, nobody even knew I was doing it. Nobody knew. I mean, nobody knew the day of the hour. Nobody knew exactly what was going on with it because I had to keep it, you know, private for different reasons. But she says, Carmen says, Wednesday at 4:21. This last Wednesday. It's on, Prophet Randy. War is on the horizon. Keep your eyes on Ukraine and Russia. And I went, when I saw that, I kind of went, wow, it was amazing. And it was amazing, but I'm just like going, you know, she got a word. So, you know, I get words, you know, too. And but 3 days later, you know, you turn on the television and war with Israel declaring war, and that they've been hit with the worst incident ever in Jerusalem since its beginning. Since its reestablishment, I think, in the last 70 years, maybe ever. I can't remember exactly the details on that. Somebody might help me quote this correctly. That was amazing to me. I went, oh, my God. You know, there it is, girl, war. I mean, when Israel says war, they're just saying we're going to protect ourselves. They're saying we're going to war, and they're going to eliminate. They are talking about eliminating Hamas from Gaza because of what they just did. So this is a really big thing, and, you know, according to the 70, and here's the reason that I got to tell you the reason that it happened on my birthday, right? I have to tell you the reason that it happened on my 70th birthday is because I have been born to do this thing with Israel. That's why it happened on the 7th, on my birthday, the biggest attack in Israel's I think since in the last 70 years since it's been a state, reestablished as a state, you know, and so the amazing thing is that many people are saying this is it. I don't know if that's it or not, but it's another sign to me because it happened on my birthday, on my 70th birthday, and God, you know, spoke to me plainly. The reason that you were born, Randy, was to go do what you're going to do with Israel. I'm just a part of many things, but one of the parts that I'm a part of is a really, you know, in my eyes, it's a really big thing. It's a biblical thing. And so I keep getting all these confirmations that this is what's happening. This is what's going on. And when I can tell you everything, you'll understand more why I've made the moves that I made, why the things that have happened, why, you know, things with my family just went, you know, you know, it all happened at the same time, and basically, and the pressures and all the stuff, you know, it's been amazing. And the other night when I was weeping, a little, couldn't help but weeping over it. It wasn't because, you know, I was in pain, like it was so horrible. It was just the awe of the whole thing. It wasn't really pain so much, although there's pain involved in it. It was the awe of the whole thing, how the whole thing worked, how God brought me through, how God showed me. From everything from the market mantle to making the transaction on last Wednesday on October the 4th. And then, you know, on my birthday, Israel says it's going to war. And many people think that this is the war that's going to do a lot of things. You know, I don't know. I'm not saying that. But I do know that it's more confirmation for me that we are really, really close because it happened on my birthday, which means I was birthed into this earth. And then born again in 1973, which, by the way, was when abortion was legalized. I was born again in 1973. And there's a lot more to the numbers there, but now, you know, at 70 years old, I am now aware of that, and have been aware of it for a long time, that I was born for this very hour, for this very time, and that's why you hear me talk about it like you do. That's why I don't fear it. That's why I don't struggle with it. That's why, to me, it's like, you know, I've known about this for years. I just didn't, but for it to actually literally start happening, is shocking. It's totally shocking. I mean, the fact this happened on my birthday, on my 70th birthday, and on the Queen's 70th year, which was last September, on of her reign, she dies in her 70th year on the throne. And then after many, many, many years of hanging on to the name of the Antichrist, as God will let me tell anybody, you know, and then boom, all of a sudden, I'm given the name, you know, because the queen died in her 70-year reign. So there's a lot more 70s, like I say. We're talking about the 70 years for building the temple after Cyrus did his thing with Israel, and Israel was set free to go home. Yeah, so there's something to that, too. And so literally, friend, this may be shocking to some of you, but from my end, because it's me personally, you know, not only is it PGN, but it's me personally that has known this for many, many, many years. And for this to happen, this new war, this major war, looks like a Middle Eastern war, and they're literally talking about wiping Hamas off the face of the earth, basically, because they're always saying they're going to do it to Israel. Yeah. Netanyahu says they're going to regret this big time because we're going to remove them. Yeah. So, friend, this is a major, major operation. And the temple is going, I guarantee you, more now than ever, they're going to be working with the building of the temple, like we've already talked about. They have a red heifer. They actually have a red heifer. They now have a red heifer. And guess where it came from? Right here in Texas, right down the street from where I live. And it's not just that. It's a friend, my friend, one of my friends who's even been on PGN 4 years ago and given to the ministry, you know, many times. It's his brother that grew the red heifer. It's the only one that's been red because his mother and father, the cow and the bull, cow and the bull, yeah, are both red to this day. So that's why the Jews were all excited because they're like, man, we've never seen this before. It's like, not only is the red heifer red, but but it's mama and daddy, which is the first time it's ever happened. Well, the mother and father of the red heifer is still red to this day. Now, that is shocking. That is shocking. So there's a lot going on, y'all. There's a lot happening. And if you're not ready, you might want to start getting ready. If you don't think you're ready, which I don't think any of us are totally ready for this, I'm more ready for it because I'm called right in the middle of it. So I know things that I can't share yet, and you're going to understand why I can't share a lot of things. It's not because I'm trying to be, you know, whatever the word is. I'm not being unfair or unjust or just holding it back because I want to make people guess. It has nothing to do with that. Like some people have said to me, oh, you're just doing this because that, you know, I they didn't really need it, but they said it. And I think a lot of people have thought that, you know, whatever. It's not a big deal. The thing is, friend, this is it. I mean, this is that. On my 70th birthday, my gosh, the war that looks like could begin the war. Yeah, this is closer to it than anything we've ever seen in history. So get ready for that. All right. So if you have questions tonight, you can ask them. I have a lot more I could share, but I don't want to blow your mind too much. So I want to, I'm holding back a little bit because I want to kind of break it down for you little by little so it won't blow some people's minds. I've told people this, and they mocked me years ago. One of my family members, I told them that I had a calling to Jerusalem, and, you know, they used it several times to make fun and poke and, you know, what you call it. So you learn to keep your mouth shut sometimes. I understand how Joseph felt when he, you know, but yet it was God's will for Joseph to tell him because that's what got him to Egypt. So all things work out together for good, right? All things work together for good. So if you want to share tonight a question, or if you have something you want to say about it, maybe you don't have a question, maybe you have something to say about the war, what you think's going on with it, you want to get that in tonight and get it here with everything else going on and document it or just share it. We would love to have it. Maybe things God's told you already that you documented somehow or another, if you documented it, it's not that you can't say it anyway, but it's better if you got it documented. That way, I believe you, but people who may not believe you, you can prove it to them. And that's what documentation is all about. That's why I tell it to people all the time, document your stuff. Don't just document it in a way that you and your buddy, you know, get it out there where it can be truly documented. Because you're going to find out, it's like Carmen sending that text to me. That was true documentation. You know, so that word, each word was documented. Right, and I just read it to you tonight. And so nothing has to document anything to me, but if you have an outlet like Facebook or whatever, and you make words, documentation, make sure it gets on there, and make sure the date and the time and all that. Because I'm going to tell you, friend, it's extremely important for you to know that. You got to document things. You got to document them correctly. Don't give 25, I've had people do this, give 20 words, and then when one of them happens, they go, oh, yeah, I had that. When they gave 19 other words that on the same day about the same thing, and then when one of them kind of came to pass, they picked that one out. You can't do that. You have to say exactly what you're saying and say that, and you know, you can't change it 20 times as it goes along and changes it. So why are you telling all this, Randy? It's because I want you to learn the real way to do things. I've been there, done that. So I'm telling you to help you, not to make things harder, but to help you. So there you go. All right. Give me just a minute here. If you got questions or you have answers or something you want to share about it tonight, get on, and we would love to hear it. So I'll be back in just a moment. I just saw this thing from Glenn. Glenn says, were you aware that Russia had alarm tests the same day we did? No, I wasn't. He shows me an article here. Sirens blare across Russia as it holds nationwide emergency drills. Wow. So what do y'all think that emergency thing is exactly? I mean, I don't know. Personally, I know it's very interesting. That's the day that Carmen had sent me that text, the day that the alert thing was going on. Well, that's what she said. I couldn't remember what day it was. So did they go off on Wednesday or was it on Thursday? I don't really remember. So I think she said it would happen on Wednesday. And that's the day that she sent me the text. So obviously it quickened her about the war thing and about Russia and Ukraine too. So here's the thing also. There's somebody else's birthday that's also on that same day, that a very well-known person. Wednesday the 4th. Okay. Okay, so, see, that's amazing. Thank you, Glenn. So Wednesday the 4th was the day that I made the transaction, the gold and silver transaction, right? Wednesday the 4th is the day that they started doing the alerts. Wednesday the 4th is the day that Carmen at 4-something p.m. sent me the thing that I just read to you. Right? Isn't that amazing? I mean, think about that. That's amazing. So you got to give your opinions about things. You don't have to be prophesying anything. You want to share, just share something, share what you think. You know, if you come up with information, make sure you get, it's not just some, you know, Google freak thing. Make sure you give me something good. But we're going to make mistakes like that too. So it's hard to know. So I've given information that was rumored, like the Texas bill passing when it did. That was a fake news item, even though they actually were voting on it. But it had not passed yet, and they're actually up for grabs for doing it again now. So pray about all that. Okay, so Wednesday the 4th, I'm repeating this again so we can make sure and get this right. I'm getting it in my thinking too. Wednesday the 4th was the day I made the transaction. Let me double check. Yeah, October the 4th. Yeah, I got it right in front of me. The actual deal was October the 4th, 2023, the gold and silver for the body of Christ. I bought this for the body of Christ. I got some stories I want to tell about that, too, the process that I went through with that and some of the numbers that came up on that. It just shocked me. That happened on October the 4th. I'm double-checking to make sure I get my information correct. That happened around 11. Let's see. Okay. I'm trying to find the time, exact time, because I'm trying to document this. Time on it yet. Oh, 12:52. 12:52 is when they actually sent the receipt to me that the transaction was done. October the 4th, 2023, at 12:52 p.m. was one of the timings. Of course, we were making the deal all morning. And that's not the only time we've been talking about it. We went over it and over it and over it, and I went over it and over and over. So we're talking about all the details and all that. And I had somebody help me, a friend help me with that, who had dealt with gold and silver before. And so thank God for them. They were also used in this process. I haven't given the name out yet without their permission. But they helped me. If I hadn't been for their help, I might have been still going at it. So thank God for their help. Thank God for all the help God brings us. All of you have done, a lot of you have been a part of PGN, have been a part of some cool things that have gone here on PGN. Thank you for all of it. God has used many of you for different things. It's amazing. And so grateful for everybody. So, all right, here we go. Okay, and the Glenn just sent me the information on the alert timing. It was 1:18 on Wednesday. Is that right, Glenn? 1:18 p.m. Wednesday afternoon when I fixed, I guess the first alert. How many alerts were there? Were there several? I can't remember. 1:18. So that's interesting. 1:18 on Wednesday, October the 4th, the same day that we made the transactions for the Golden Sewer. I just read it. I just read the actual receipt date to you. At around 1 o'clock, 12:50 something p.m. Afternoon, and that deal was completed on Wednesday the 4th. The alert started being sent out on the very same day. What does that tell you? Alert! Like they, I'm just going to play with this a little bit. They were watching me make that transaction, and they decided to make alerts. No, not really. But look at that! Look how that. I mean, you know, we know that didn't happen, but that's what it looks like. I mean, it doesn't really look like that, but it looks like somebody knew. I mean, I didn't even know I was going to make that deal. I've been working on that deal for I don't know how long, and you know, it finally came about that day. I mean, there was times I wanted to fire the guy who I was working with. I did. I was like, going, he was just trying to help me, and he seriously was a good help, a lot of help, a whole lot of help. But there's a couple of times I wanted to fire him. got kind of cantankerous with me in a good way, you know. He's trying to make sure we do the right thing. So finally, you know, for some reason that day, everything just kind of fit together, and he was in the mood or something. I don't know how to explain it all. And boom, it happened just like that. And then at 1:18, an hour later, an hour and 18 minutes later, or let's see, just a few minutes later. Oh my gosh, that's right. The transaction was made around noon, and that happened about 20 to 30 minutes later after I got the receipt from the Gold and Silver. The alert thing that's around the globe went off. Watch out for PGN. Watch out for PGN. They're making a gold transaction and a silver transaction. Watch out for them. Wealth transfer. Leaving Egypt. Was that a very good alert? I don't think so. Look at that, man. What do you think? Thank you, Glenn, for that. So that was like, you know, 30 minutes. Let's see. It's 4 minutes. Around 20 minutes, 25 minutes after we made the actual transaction, after working on it for how long have I been talking about that thing about gold and silver? And I've been working on how to do it for months and months and months. Well, which way do I go? I never dreamed it would take me so long. You know, I was beginning to think it was not ever going to happen. And then one day, boom, just like that. The very day. See how God was working. I couldn't have planned that. I would have never known that the alert system was going to come out and that Israel was going to go to war. Who would have ever known that? And then our whole thing about the prophecy about Israel coming out of Egypt, you know, which were they were enslaved them, and going to come out with the gold and the silver, you know. And what celebration was that? It was a Jewish celebration of Tabernacles, right? Didn't they attack them on Tabernacles? Celebrating 50 years of the worst thing that's ever happened to them before, and the one that happened now is worse than the thing they were celebrating for. It was worse. They were celebrating the war, some war that happened to them, but this attack was worse than the one they were celebrating on that day or that week or whatever it was. Y'all, this is just, I don't know. This is really blowing my mind. Really blowing my mind. Okay, Glenn says the Hamas backers are saying that after they do what they plan to do against Israel, that one day soon they will worship the mosque, the Alaska Mosque, that sits on the top of Mount, the Ala Mosque. I'm sorry. It looked like you were saying Alaska. That is funny.
because the way it showed up in my text, it goes A-L and then A-K-S-A. I thought you misspelled Alaska, man. The Alaska Mon. I didn't know it had Alaska. Yeah, sorry. You know, you did it right, bro. You did it right, but I just... Oh, God has a sense of humor. The Alaska Mon. Yeah, I know that's what it's called. I mean, I've talked about it many times. But, you know, I didn't hear that statement, so they will all sit on the top of the Temple Mount in that mosque. You know, the one that's up on the Temple Mount right now. This will probably begin the countdown to who controls Temple Mount. In order to build Jewish temple, the countdown to the AC, I think, was signaled. What does the AC mean? You guys, tonight you have to speak really clear to me, because I'm obviously, you know, I've had way too much going on. If y'all knew what I've been going through, and I'm not talking about bad stuff, if y'all knew what's been going on with me and what I've been doing, and what's been happening, when I can tell all of it, you're gonna go, man, the Antichrist. Oh, okay, thank you. AC is like air conditioning. I'm thinking air conditioning. Countdown to the air conditioning. Sorry.
I didn't get that. Could you try again?
I don't want you, Siri. Sorry. Love you. Bye. The Antichrist. Countdown to the Antichrist, I think, was signaled recently to step in to complete the last day. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of things that are working on it. Thank you, Glenn, for that information. Really, really cool. Anything else you guys want to share, you know, I'll read it for you. I'd love for you to be a part of it. You know, you don't have to say, thus saith the Lord, or you can say what I'm best saying, or you can say what you think, you know. And then if you have a word from the Lord, you can say that too, if you'd like. So feel free to share. Text it to me. Or get your hand up there in a minute. We're going to talk in a minute. And y'all, I'd have to say, you can really pray for me. I've been really smoking at both ends. Or burning, not smoking. I'm smoking. Burning at both ends. I got, you know, flame burning at both ends. I'm really just like, I mean, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And I'm talking about wonderful stuff, but it's like it's all hitting me at the same time. And so pray for me that I use wisdom. And that I'll use wisdom and not wear myself out. All the stuff that's going on, you know, EGN is right in the middle of the whole thing. That's all I can tell you. We're right in the middle of it. So we're working on getting Zoom going on in a more professional with my monitors and all that kind of thing. As you guys know, I talk about everything, right? You know, all of it is coming together very well. I've been making a lot of trips to the storage, getting stuff out, and that's been a trip within itself, bringing it back and then to put it all together. So pray for me. Please pray for me. And thank you for all the help, you guys, your emotional help, so it's all really cool, and I appreciate it very much. All right, so, it happened on my birthday, and when I woke up and I realized, you know, oh, right, that's right, today's my birthday, and look what happened. The Lord says, you know, just like he's been trying to tell me for years, and I believed him, but it's just like, it's kind of hard to process that information, but and I've talked about here on the show how that I'm called to Israel, and I've had a visitation with Michael in dreams, he watches me for some reason. I don't know why exactly. I mean, I know why some of it, but it's kind of hard to comprehend all that. He is Michael the Archangel is the head angel over Israel, and so. So I've talked about all this, you know, many, many times before. And now what happens is this amazing thing goes on with Israel on my birthday, because, you know, I've been born for this. And God, you know, birthed me into the kingdom for this too. And it happened on my 70th birthday, which is just really amazing. And I'm in good health, good shape, you know, as far as I know. I'm a doctor, but I'm really doing good. My brain's getting better. Things are going good. And, yeah, it's been amazing. It's been an amazing ride, to say the least. All right, so everybody seems to be really quiet tonight except Glenn and Carmen. Maybe you don't have anything to say yet. You have to think about it. But October is a big month, a really, really big month. And might I say a really, 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 really big month that will go down in history in more than one way. So, all right, y'all. Let's try to move on here. I'm trying to move on. I think I've documented everything the best I can. There's more things I want to talk about the 70, about Jubilee. You know, I was asking about Jubilee several months ago, and I didn't understand. I have to be honest with you. I don't understand Jubilee, and is it happening now? I never understood the timing. I never understood the dates of it as far as, like, in our day and time. So I've never really been able to, you know, say this is Jubilee, although God told me, spoke to me about it, but because he didn't say on this particular day in 2023 or 2024 or 2025, you know, I didn't quite understand it. You know, maybe he did that on purpose. I don't know, but Jubilee is upon us. I mean, we're in that season. So the dates and all this stuff on it, I don't know. I don't understand all that. I'm not real together on some of the Jewish things, such as, you know, mixing with our dates and Jubilee and all that, and the timing and dates and all that. So, all right, there you go. All right, October the 4th, we made the transaction. One more time, I'm going to share this. We made the transaction on Wednesday, the 4th of October. That's officially documented as of now, as of that date. We bought the gold and silver for the transition of wealth for the PGN people who have supported us. And they're going to be blessed because that, I don't know about money and the amounts and the measure. I don't know about any of that yet. Nobody's really asking me anything about that, but I don't know anything about that in the specifics yet. I just know that we have purchased the gold and silver, and when the market crashes, that will make gold and silver that we bought. I don't know what, I can't say how much measure it's going to increase, but it's going to be a lot. It's going to be a whole lot. And so PGN people who have supported PGN with their money, with their finances, are going to be partakers of that, just like it was in the days of Egypt, when Israel came out of Egypt. So all this stuff is connected. That all happened on Wednesday, October the 4th, around 12. And then at 1:18, less than 30 minutes later, that alert, the global alert system happened. Think about that. And then Carmen sends me the text about war on the horizon to watch Russia and get your eyes on Russia and keep your eyes on Russia and Ukraine. And so we'll see how all that, I got a feeling that it's really going to be a good word. I mean, it is a good word, but I don't know how it's going to unfold exactly, but it sure seems to be happening. So in my opinion, that was very, very interesting. And then the fact that the war of wars, it looks like Israel declares war on Hamas after a surprise attack. This is something that people are saying is not like anything that's ever been before. And it happens on my birthday, on my 70th birthday, in the number 70, in the building of the temple. The temple was built. They went back into Jerusalem 70 years, after 70 years of being in bondage, and they began rebuilding the temple. So all that connects with everything. All right, I think that's it for right now. I'm kind of running a little bit low on where to go with all that. At this point, we will talk about it more in the future, of course, as you know. Get ready, because we're going to literally see some things that come to pass in mind-boggling ways. And those of you who haven't believed, well, get ready. Just repent. Ask God to forgive you. It's okay. Hey, he tells me himself, and I struggle with it. Because it's me. If he's telling me about somebody else, I might believe it more. I mean, I believe it. But when you know me, you know how regular I am, you know why it makes it takes a lot. Like with Gideon, it took him several miracle signs to believe it. And with Moses, same way. You know, those guys, Elijah, had his things going on too. It just takes a lot when it's you. So when you hear me talk about these things and I get really excited, just understand this is a confirmation for me. All right, drink your water. I'm drinking mine. All right, we'll get into more numbers. Some of you will have some very interesting stuff to say, I think, I imagine. So let's get it together as God gives it to you, and let's share. We're going to open up our callers. Nobody has their hand up. Maybe because everybody's in shock. I don't know. But get your hand up there tonight, and let's talk. If nobody wants to raise their hand because they feel the reverence of the moment or something, I can completely understand. But if you have something you'd like to ask or you'd like to share or give your opinion about something, you know, let's get it on the show tonight. Let's document it. And we'll try to give everybody a little bit of a chance. If you put your hand up there, give everybody a little bit of a chance to share some things that you think that you're hearing, or maybe you heard some other prophet say or something. You know, you can also tell me what other people are saying, and then I'll tell you my opinion about that right then, right now. So be prepared for that, you know. Okay, I'll give my opinion. And if I have a word about it, I'll share that also. All right, so get your hands up there if you want to talk or share. If you don't, hey, I'll call it a night tonight. It's only 10:10, but hey, 10:10. John 10:10. I came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. People are shocked. People are shocked. I'm shocked. You know, I mean, I didn't know there's going to be a war in Israel. I haven't heard anybody say there's going to be war in Israel. But the fact that somebody from PGN said there's war on the horizon, and then, you know, and then this war, a war breaks out with Israel, Hamas, and the way it all happened is shocking everybody. Nobody even had a clue. That was pretty amazing to me. And that was a PGN person. You know, we all know that's Carmen. So if you have some things that you have documented with the dates and the time of anything or whatever, make sure it's documented, right? You can share it if you want to. If you get something that hasn't come to pass yet, you think it's going to happen in the future, then you can share that too if you want to document it. But so there you go. I'll give you a few minutes to raise your hand. And if you don't want to talk, I understand. Y'all, I am in shock myself. I hopefully soon I can tell you more of the details. I think it might interest you maybe. And if you're a PGN person, I know it will interest you. Because we're all in this thing together. All right? Like I said, I'm opening up the door for you to share. We're kind of going to be talking about this tonight, obviously, because of the importance of it and the timing and, you know, like I said, the fact that I've turned 70 and the 70 numbers, the sign Julie and I had driving down the street. We were just driving down the street in our neighborhood, leaving the house on our way to go somewhere, shopping or something, or eat. And I saw this sign up in the clouds. I go, you got to stop. Right? Hang on a second. Whoa. She stopped the car, and we looked up. And she loves the clouds. You know, she loves clouds. So we looked up the clouds. Look at that. What does it look like to you? And I asked her what it looked like to her, and she told me. And I said, wow, that's interesting. And the time that it happened and all that was really amazing. All right. All right, so Carmen's sending me the number thing here. Thank you for that. This is a lot of information. I don't want to read all of it or not, but thank you for this. That's a lot of information. Whoa. Look what 70 means. I think I actually got this off from the link. That's really cool. Meaning of the numbers, the number 70. 70 has a sacred meaning in Scripture that is made up of the factors of two perfect numbers, 7, representing perfection, and 10, representing completeness in God's law. As such, it symbolizes perfect spiritual order carried out with all power. It can also represent a period of judgment. 70 elders were appointed by Moses. Numbers 11:16. After reading the covenant God gave him to read to the people, Moses took 70 elders, along with Aaron and his sons, up to Mount Sinai and have a special meal with God himself. Exodus chapter 24, verse 9 through 11. Ancient Israel spent a total of number of 70 years in captivity in Babylon. Jeremiah 29, verse 10. 70 is also especially connected with Jerusalem. The city kept 70 years of Sabbaths while Judah was in Babylon captivity. The city kept 70 years of Sabbaths while Judah was in Babylon captivity. Jeremiah 25, verse 11. 490 years were determined upon Jerusalem for it to complete its transgression or sin for everlasting righteousness to enter into it. Daniel 9:24. Appearances of the number 70, Terah, the father of Abraham, who was not his older son, had his first male child at 70. Canaan, the fourth biblical patriarch mentioned in the scripture, had his first son at the age of 70. Israel in Egypt had its beginnings with Joseph rising in power in Pharaoh's courts and Jacob migrating his entire household in the land. A total of 70 Israelites started a nation within another nation that would grow to more than 2 million by the time of the Exodus. 70 elders, not counting the high priest, composed Israel's great tribunal, Exodus chapter 24, verse 1, Numbers 11:16. Which was eventually called the Sanhedrin. It was this body of elders that hated Christ so much that they were the driving force in the New Testament to have Jesus killed by whatever means available. By betrayal, lying witnesses, false accusations, lying to the Romans that he broke Roman laws. 70 disciples were sent out by Christ on a training mission to preach the gospel to the surrounding area, Luke 10. The number 70 and Jesus' parables. The number 70 in Jesus' parable. Okay, the Bible records Jesus Christ giving at least 70 parables during his ministry. These parables listed by the first gospel they are found in and are below. All right, I read all that. Wow, interesting. Okay, so there's 70, and very interesting that goes on. Okay, we got somebody with their hand up here. Let's see, it's Nikki. All right, Nikki, Charles,
hey,
what's going on over there?
Everything's going good. I just wanted to talk about the war, and I wanted to share something that I heard from one of the prophets, Tony Ryomi.
Okay.
He's out of London. He's a black gentleman. I don't know if you know him or not, but anyways, I was listening to him, and he started to share about how Hamas.
Come on,
they're really not like, well, this is how it was put to me. They are like the front face of who's really behind them. They're just a terrorist group of people, Iran's behind it. And what was very peculiar to me is how he talked about how our president, Joe Biden, gave $6 million to the Iranians just recently. And,
right, he did. Mm.
Yeah, and then he's like, we're going to side with Israel, Joe Biden says. He sends a warship. That's all I know that he has sent over there. I could be wrong. There might be more. But I just find it very strange how he's actually feeding the enemy to to do something like this, it's indirect is what I want to say, or has the appearance of such, and then try to help them. Like, I don't know. This gets kind of really twisted for America, because I know what the Bible says. You bless Israel, you'll be blessed. You curse them, you'll be cursed. So how does this work, Randy? Can you kind of elaborate, if you will?
Well, I mean, I don't know all the details of it. I do know everything that he's saying is true, that they did send, what I think, $6 billion to Iran. It had something to do with some money that they had held up, and then they released it. You know, actually, I may not have the details right either. But so they're saying, the White House is saying that they did not give them the money to do that. You know, Iran just did it on its own. So who really knows what's going on? I don't know, but that's what they say. I'm trying to get both sides of it. Glenn says the U.S. Here it is. Glenn got an article. Thank you, Glenn. Okay, here, $6 billion. $6 billion, not million. I think I did say $6 billion. Did I say $6 million? Anyway, thank you for that. Thank you. Thanks for keeping it straight, bro. Let me read this article here, Nikki. Hang on a second here. Let's see what goes on. Thank you, Glenn, for that. Let me turn my Wi-Fi on my phone. All right, let's go do this. All right. The U.S. freed, there you go. The U.S. freed $6 billion in Iran money, Iranian money. Did it help fund Hamas attack on Israel? The Republicans are criticizing the Biden administration after Hamas militants launched the deadliest attack on Israel in years. President Joe Biden's critics claim that a recent hostage release agreement provided Iran with, because they had a hostage release. Okay, now a hostage release agreement with provided Iran with access to $6 billion in frozen funds. It had frozen those funds from Iran. And that, as a result, that money could have helped Iran fund Hamas attack. Neither Israel nor the White House have said that there's a direct link between Iran and Hamas attack on Israel. But Iran is a longtime supporter of Hamas. And a Hamas spokesman told the BBC News that Iran gave direct backing. All right. So we know they gave direct backing, according to this. The Biden administration must be held accountable for its appeasement of these Hamas terrorists, including handing over billions of dollars to them and their Iranian backers. U.S. Representative Steve Scalise wrote on October the 7th, Scalise, the House Majority Leader, is one of the two candidates for the House Speaker. Emboldened Iran. They think Biden emboldened Iran to aid surprise attack. I don't know that I don't know if he did it on purpose or not, if he did it for that, but it sure looks kind of suspicious, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I heard it like they were interviewing the Iranian president or whatever his name is, and the American man, when he was interviewing him, he flat out asked him what he was going to do with the money, and the man never gave him a definite answer. Because from the American aspect of this, it was supposed to be for humanity in Iran. And the president was like, we use it for what we need to use it for. And he would not specifically say, he said, yes, I will give to where it needs to be given. And so I'm over here thinking to myself, okay, we're not stupid. None of us are. And I know the whole Biden gimmick up there in Washington, I know they knew. I just know they do. But anyways, you know, I can't prove it, so whatever. But I will tell you this. It's a bad day for Iranians if they don't stop, because we know what the scripture says about you messing with Israel. And
yeah,
it's just not going to be good. But I just found it really, like, odd. If Trump was president, we'd have every freaking a helicopter, plane, train, buses, boats,
yeah,
everything over there defending them. And what do we send? One little stupid warship?
Yeah, I don't know what they've sent so far yet. We don't know for sure what they've sent, but if they, because, you know, we have to wait for the strategy on it, because sometimes they don't want to let them know what they're sending as a strategy. So we really got to be careful with that.
True that.
You know, I'm a Trump person all the way, you know, and I voted for him twice. I'm definitely a Trump person. And have been, you know, I love his big mouth. I love his stuff. You know, I still love to watch him go at it. And so,
and he's been
we
doing,
don't really know.
He's just been, you know, he's been out running his mouth still. Trump is. If I was president, these two wars would have never happened. And somehow believing. And, you know, it's like, and then look what Biden's administration did with the our oil a treaty, you know, the whole thing is about that. Now that's all messed up and, you know, I don't know. It's all got to happen.
Okay, right here.
Here we go.
Right here, Daniel says, this is Daniel, says, carriers are sent with a fleet of ships, of destroyers, cruisers, et cetera. So I don't know where he gets that information from. I don't know where he's getting that from. But, yeah, I mean, I'd like to talk about it, and we can say, give our opinions, and I think we need to, we're not all saying that's the Lord on things. We're just talking, right? So we're having fun. This is great. I'm glad we're doing it. I thank you for sharing. I'm glad you're doing it. So people have a real opinions about these things, and we need to hear them out on it, and I thank you for doing that. But here's the thing is that, you know, one thing we don't know is what they're actually doing. Trump, think about this, Nikki, you know, as far as saying that Trump would have stopped it, just think if God didn't want Trump to stop it. Just think if was supposed to unlock something, and if Trump, you know, we all know how tough Trump was, right, or is. Just think if he would have been president, then this wouldn't, because Biden's whole job is to open up the end time. That's his whole job, is to weaken the U.S. and open it up, because that's what God wants to do. So on one hand, we can say that, and it's true, if Trump was president, I think you're probably right. I think they had thought a whole lot about it before they did it. But since Biden is president, and I believe that, you know, God had his way, he raises up kings, like you said, and put them down. And I think he raised up Biden being weak and the whole thing for a purpose, because it's a signal of God's trying to tell some people, this is, I'm doing this. This isn't Randy Chandler's prophecy or somebody, you know, Randy Chandler said it 1,000 times, so that's what made it happen, you know, or whatever, whoever you want to say, whoever anybody wants to say it about. You know, this is actually what God is allowing to happen, and God is doing this. This is not the devil. The devil is involved in it in the sense that God is going to allow the devil to do his thing. He's going to allow it, and people think they're going to stop it with their mighty prayers and all that kind of thing. And they, if they don't get their right focus, they're going to be punching in the air, and they're not going to be getting anything done. And the real thing we need to be praying over, and that is souls and getting people and getting the right prophetic words. We need the right prophetic words, not the ones what we wish and what we hope and what I do. And what if Trump was president and blah blah blah, which, you know, we all think that. I think along with you on that. I know they would have. I don't think they would have done it at all if Trump had been president. But maybe that's why God didn't allow it, because he is launching us toward the end time. I mean, just think about this. We made the gold transaction on March the 4th on Wednesday. They started doing the alerts, the world global alerts, an hour, not even an hour later. I mean, I know it has nothing to do with what I did, except prophetically, and the timing on it was amazing. I tried to make those deals. I tried to make some kind of a deal for months. Nobody knows this. For months, I'm trying to figure out how we do, what are we going to do, how's the stress. You know, I mean, it sounds simple once you make the decision, but there's so many different ways you can do it. So on October the 4th, finally, boom, it happened. I couldn't even believe it. I go to the phone and go, what? It actually happened? Oh, my God. That very day, like Glenn said on 118, they started sending out those global alerts. Russia got the alerts. Oh, by the way, everybody, guess who else's birthday is on October the 7th? Anybody else know? Somebody well known? Putin. So I'm in bad company or something. And so, yeah, Vladimir Putin's birthday. Yeah, I've talked about this years ago. I've talked about this many times, but Putin is not. And Marcus Lamb's birthday was also on October the 7th. So we're talking about Russia here. His birthday was on October the 7th. I'm sure when he saw this happen with Israel, I don't know what he thinks about it exactly, but you know, because we know what Russia's going to be doing, right? They're going to be coming against Israel too, they're going to be doing it. I think Nicole's talked about this recently. As far as the prophecy thing, I can't remember exactly the details on it. She'll have to come on and maybe share with us if he's listening. But so this is happening. October the 7th was also Vladimir Putin's birthday when Israel declares war. Putin probably goes, yeah, man, this is really going on now. It's really going on. So that's happening. And we made that deal on the 4th of October.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Joe Biden has done the exact same except opposite of what Trump did. Trump was so good at what he did. Well, Joe Biden is so good at what he's doing, messing it all up.
That's
it's
right.
just amazing how we
That's
get these two
point.
Awesome presidents. They're just so opposite, but yet so great at what they do.
Yeah.
Lord.
Yeah, and God using them. See, that's what people are having a hard time wrapping their brain around. I think we're the only ones that prophesied this. I mean, the only ones who prophesied this, but in particular about Biden and the whole thing. And so kind of like the Hamas surprise, so was everybody else surprised when Trump, you know, got – anyway. So, but, yeah, exactly. Trump was so good at what he did, and I love that man. I love that man in his day. I always love this man. To me, he was like a Moses that, you know, instead of – he did the same thing Moses did. When he started out his campaign, he struck the rock, man. He struck it, and everybody goes, man, this guy's awesome. Look at the way he struck that rock, and look at the water that's coming out. Woo, this is amazing. And then the second time around, when God told Moses to speak to the rock, you know, he didn't. He struck it, and Trump did the same thing exactly. He kept striking the rock on October the 6th. You know, he struck the rock again. He came out. He's declaring war, and we're going to stop this and stop that, and we're not going to put up with this. You know, so I mean, in a sense, it looked like a good fight, but it was not a good fight at all, in my opinion. In fact, I sent people to him, or tried to send people to him, and told them, I said, tell him to concede it and do not do this because he's like Moses. If he strikes the rock, when God's saying, hey man, you got the president, people respect you now. You've been a president for three and a half years. Or whatever long it was. You know, you have a different platform now. Don't quit striking the rock, dude. Start moving your strategy like God told Moses to start speaking to the rock. And the same water's going to come out, but you've got to do it. So what happened? Just like I talked about this on the show when all this was going on, back when before even January the 6th happened. I said, Donald Trump, please do not strike the rock anymore. You struck the rock, that's how you got started. It was awesome. God wanted it to be. It was a great deal. But now you got to stop it. And what did he do? He didn't stop it. You know what it did? I think it's all God's plan. But it stopped. It's now closing the door for any of his children to be president or to be in any political office. That's what it's doing. It's closing the door for all that. And I said that on my show, you know, publicly, you know, way before January the 6th, that this is what it's going to do. And so that's exactly what's going to happen because God showed me the process of it all. So now that we're seeing this, you know, people are going to go back and forth. If Trump was president, if Trump, but you got to think about this. End time, people should be going, as sad as this is that all these Israelis are dying, look at the impact this is having in biblical prophecy. And people say, we don't want, it's like saying, we don't want that. We want Trump. That's really what they're saying. We don't want that. We want Trump. We want four more years of, you know, given, and God's saying he did such a great job of provoking the enemy. He did such a great job of doing what he did, and he did it so fast, he got it done in 3.5 years, kind of like John the Baptist did, then he got his head cut off. But he was known as one of the greatest men ever in the Old Testament. That's what Jesus said about it. And I think that about Trump. I really do. I honest to God do. So this is what's happening.
I got to say something, Randy. I'm sure the whole world every 4 years cringes when America makes a new president. Because they don't know what's going to happen.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm sure of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
yeah,
like,
that's
shake
right.
your head. Are we going to have, like, the real number one powerhouse, or are we going to have a goofball in there that just lets us run amok?
Yeah, I remember when Jimmy Carter became president. I remember Jimmy Carter? When he became president.
Oh, yeah, he's still alive.
Yeah, he is, yeah. And he was running around in his sweater, just looking like Mr.
Old.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And everybody thought, man, this guy's like an idiot, you know. I remember all that. And anyway, he's a nice guy.
But didn't he? No, it's Truman. Which one was it, Randy, that made the doomsday deal?
I don't remember.
Which one was that?
Somebody out there would know. Somebody tell us who made that doomsday deal. I don't know.
Because that was what made us number one. And, of course, Joe Biden has destroyed that. Yeah, he made everybody. And what did he do? He seizes, I think it was Putin's stuff, and everybody's like, oh, no, Joe Biden's freezing our money up. And yeah, so let's go somewhere else. And now people aren't buying oil in our American money no more. Oh, yeah, let's just screw it all up. And that's exactly what he did. Oh, yeah, this is bringing in the one world order for sure.
Yeah.
He's bringing it in, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, yeah, go ahead. I was just, exactly. And so when you see it as, on one hand, it's going to cause suffering. That part we don't like, of course. Nobody likes it. Who wants to suffer? None of us do. Would America be great? You know, who doesn't? Who wouldn't? You know, but once I started seeing, once God started showing me what was really going to happen and why it was happening and why Biden was going to be president and why they weren't going to allow Trump, you know, show me Trump's purpose and that he fulfilled it, then I started changing gears. Like, okay, well, thank God, Joe Biden is president. Hallelujah. You know why? Because when God gives you insight to something, you start seeing why they conspired against Jesus. You start understanding why his brothers threw him out and betrayed him.
Right.
You start understanding why all that happens. It's painful. It's hard to look at, but it's the way God does stuff, and most people can't handle the way God does this stuff. They want to do it the way they think. Some nice, respectable human being, that God is a good man. He would never do anything like that. No. Thank you, Kenneth Copeland.
No. If they only knew who God really is. The Bible says God is love. Well, love is pretty crucial sometimes. And, you know, I was looking at Israel today, and it made me cry, Randy. I mean, it jacked me up, man. And I thought to myself, and this is the sovereignty of God. This is his Bible. This is the Bible. And this is, you know, if I didn't love the Lord, I really wouldn't understand this. But because I do love him like I do, and I've watched him do things in my life personally that only he can do. See, that's the thing about God. When he does something, you can't really describe it. You can't compare it to nothing. And once you look at it rightfully, and through the eyes of God, it's sheer love.
Yep.
And I thought to myself,
and the problem
gosh.
Is that we have to look back at it to get that. That's what's really difficult. Oops, I'm sorry. Hang on a second. I messed up. I clicked something. Hang on a minute. Sorry about that. I clicked the wrong thing. And that's the part about it, Nikki, that's so difficult is that while we're in the middle of it, it looks horrific. Like, how dare his brothers, you know, I mean, they could have just beat him up or something or slapped him around a little bit and then blamed it on somebody else. No, they literally sold him out and got rid of him, you know, and told his father that you know, they bloodied up his garment that they all hated, the coat of any colors. And his father said, well, it had to be a wolf or something that ate him up. And so they let his father believe that for years, 15 years they let him believe that. How cruel was that until you see the end of the story where Joseph begins to understand it? So you have to think that different with Joseph. At first, Joseph, I think, was very troubled with it. I think he was of course, he was in pain over it. It had to be horrible. But then one day he wakes up and he goes, man, if it hadn't been for what they did, I wouldn't be here. And that's what we're saying about Israel and all the things. And it went on with Trump. If it hadn't have been for God doing it the way he did it, we'd still be floundering around. Who's going to be president next? Instead of Jesus Christ coming back and doing his thing, we'd be going like, you know, what are we going to get next? What are we getting? Exactly what you said. We're going to spend another 20 years in that? Who wants that? I don't want it anymore. And now that God started showing me what he's doing, he says, Randy, I'm bringing an end to man's kingdoms, like the vision that Daniel had. I mean, the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had and Daniel interpreted, that the end of the man's kingdoms And that's what's happening. This is the process of saying this is Daniel's interpretation to Nebuchadnezzar's dream, you know, of the. I wish Nicole was on. She could talk with us a little bit better than I do. But of the four different kingdoms, we're in the last one, and this is just showing that this is that. So it's hard, it's difficult. But when you look back at it, when Joseph looked back at those years, he said, "Man, I cried a lot. I hurt a lot." He didn't say that literally, but I think he did. And so, when he looked back, he said, "Man, thank God, you guys did what you did, even though you meant it for evil. God meant it for good." That's a hard thing to deal with, Nikki, especially when you're right in the middle of it, and nobody understands. If we hadn't got that prophetic word about this, who I don't know, maybe somebody else would have got it. But if we hadn't gotten that, there would have been nobody that would have been talking about it and where it's going, and we're still watching it go that way, even though they're still trying to get Trump in there. It's not going to happen because God wants to bring the end to the man's kingdom. He's going to bring an end to it, and Donald Trump did a great job. But it's all over.
So I got a question.
Mm-hmm.
I got a question, Randy. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm drinking water.
Do you think this war is going to bring the Antichrist on the scene?
Well, I think it is. I mean, I don't have a word from the Lord that it is exactly, though. Although, the reason I talk about the things I talk about, like when the queen died, after 70 years of being in rule, and then 4 days later, we gave the name of the Antichrist, September the 12th, 2022, after waiting for it for 12 years or so, you know, and then 3 days later, the red heifer shows up in Israel. To me, that's one of the biggest signs, because the Antichrist can't even come forth, Nikki, without the red heifer. People don't realize that. Right. Oh, what's the big deal at the red heifer? Just some red cow. Who cares about that? The Antichrist can't even go into the temple without that red heifer. So when the red heifer came, that's when I got so excited about it, not only because it was down the street from me, and from not just down the street from me, a few miles down the road, but it was from somebody that I knew well. And everybody knows about that here on the show, but we have people listening who heard this for the first time. So I have to explain things a little bit more every time so people can kind of grasp what we're talking about. And so when that happened, 3 days later, the red heifer shows up, knowing that the Antichrist can't come forth. What does that tell you? Or what does that tell me? What it tells me, the person who was involved in all of this personally, it tells me that we're there. The red heifer is to be what? To help the Antichrist get in his place so the Jews are going to build their temple? Yes, I think, and it looks like to me, because this happened on my birthday, on my 70th birthday. I know I sound like I'm 40, 50, and I really am in heart and physical, but my real age is I just turned 70 years old. That 70 is a huge number. Not only, and the main reason that it's important is because not only did God speak to me about this years ago, I didn't know the date or the timing of it, but so you're asking me about the Antichrist. So the fact that happened, this war happened on my birthday, and I'm called to Israel and have a relationship with Michael the Archangel, who's the head of Israel, and my Hebrew tongue is one of the main tongues that I have. When I went to Israel that time and I was riding around with some Hebrew people, or actually a Palestinian guy, and he just got saved, and he wanted to pray. I said, yeah, I pray. We were driving from Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee, up to Lebanon to have a meeting with some of Pastor Benny's people. And on the way up there, it's just him and I in the car, right? Pastor Larry's in front. We're in the car behind. He said, hey, you want to pray, Brother Randy? I said, yeah. I said, yeah. I didn't even know who the guy was. And so I started praying like I always pray. I didn't care who the guy was. Oh, Jesus. Bless this day, bless our meeting. We're going to, and I'm praying in English and praying in tongues. He turned around to me and he said, oh, you know Hebrew? I said, what? I didn't know what he was talking about. I said, what? He said, you know Hebrew? I said, no, I'm sorry. I don't know Hebrew. I thought he was going to ask me, you know, if I wanted to learn Hebrew. He says, no, you speak perfect Hebrew. I said, what do you mean? He said, just now when you pray in Hebrew, perfect Hebrew. I said, well, what was I saying? I was saying, I want to know what was I saying, man. He said, you were praying something like Christ be exalted at the right hand of the Father. And, Nikki, I went, oh, my God. I know that may not mean a lot of things to anybody else, but because it happened to me, and I know already what God told me, and I'm watching this unfold, you know, so is this the Antichrist and all that about to be revealed? Yeah. Yes, I think this war, the fact that it happened on my birthday and the seventh birthday and my connection with Michael the Archangel and my calling to Israel, which I've known, I can't even tell you people what it is because, you know, I've made that mistake before. And it was a horrible mistake, like Joseph made when he told his brothers. It got him in trouble. It got me in trouble. And people rejected me over that. And so I've kept my mouth shut. But it's a big thing. It's a really, really big thing. And PGN is a part of it. So, yeah, I think that it's going to open the door for that. Yeah.
Well, this could get real interesting quickly then. You know what?
Yeah.
I was listening to Dutch Sheets and Tim Sheets, and they had a couple guys, and it was a meeting they just had, Ecclesia Hub meeting in Ohio at Tim Sheets' church. And I was listening, and he just come out with, this is not a time to be looking forward to the rapture. He said, it's a time now to start fighting. It's time to pick up your weapons and start fighting. I was like, whoa, you know how many people, if they knew we were this close to the end times, they would be looking for the rapture and not, you know, doing,
yeah,
putting on your helmet of salvation, your breastplate of righteousness, your belt of truth, you know,
yeah,
sword in hand, faith and all that, blah. Yeah, and I was like, you know how many people probably, if they realized just how close we were, they wouldn't be wanting to fight. They would really be looking to the east, huh, for Jesus to come in, you know, come down.
Yeah.
But it is a time to fight. It is a time to pray.
Fight.
It is a
fight. Fight how? Fight how? I mean, how are they saying fight? Make it a little bit clearer.
Spiritually,
so you can fight all
like spiritually fighting, and you know, not physically, but you know,
no,
get down and pray.
Okay, hang on a second. Hang on a second. Yeah, I got you. I know what you're saying. Let's be real specific because I talk a lot about this in the Word of the Lord. Is that you can fight all different kinds of ways spiritually. So, are we talking about fighting what? Keeping America great again? Is that what they're talking about? Because I know Dutch Sheets and all those guys, where they're at on that. Are they saying
no,
fight for America? Okay, I'm just saying. So there's different. There's many different ways to fight something. So that's what I'm asking.
Yeah. Well, they were talking about the principality over America, and they were talking about that. But this was, you know, this happened this weekend, so this whole Ecclesia thing. Yeah. So
awesome.
It was
awesome. Those guys love God,
yeah,
man.
Just recently.
They really love God, yeah.
Yeah. And I understand what you say about them too as well. And I got that loud and clear, and I do see it. What you have spoken, not negative, but just you better be in your rightful place to be fighting, you know, some of the things that they say. But you know, but they, you know, that little nugget I got from him, instead of looking to the east, you know, get down and really fight this, you know, what God tells you to fight for. And it could be your family, it could be Israel, it could be whatever, but just the fact that you don't just say, oh, I'm waiting for the, you know, Jesus to come back and be raptured out of here. Oh, no, isn't it time to just lay down and I think I'll just go to sleep and not do nothing? Oh, no, it's really a time to, you know, seek the Lord and ask him, you know, where's your battle at? Because everyone has one. We all have one, even if it's just to make our walk better with the Lord. You know, we need to fight the good fight of faith, you know. And I thought it was very good. You know, that's what I got from what he was saying, because so many people are looking for Jesus to come back because, there's gross darkness on the earth and there's a lot of things going on and all that. You know, if you ask about, we just had a hurricane come through here not too long ago in our hurricane season that touched up north of Florida. And, you know, did some pretty good damage and stuff. And and just, you know, the hurricanes are bigger and stronger than ever. And, you know, the volcanoes, the earthquakes, and the, you know, all the stuff that the scripture talks about that in these last days. But I honestly believe, this is my own personal opinion, I think we're still in Matthew 24. I think we are.
Which means what? Which means what specifically?
Specifically, like, we're just in the birth pains right now. We're not.
Okay.
This isn't the full. This isn't the fullness of the end. At the end, you know. I think there's
still
7 years or something.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was asking. What? Because you know, when people say use language, I don't understand what they mean by when they say something. So that's why I like to ask specific detail. So you're saying that you don't think it's quite, you think we've got at least 7 years and maybe more, basically. You think this is the beginning of the birth pangs. Okay. Let's talk about that specific. Good point. Let's talk about that for a minute because I think people have different beliefs on that, I'm guessing. So the beginning of birth pangs means that, in other words, I'm saying that the Antichrist is going to be revealed soon, which could be, you know, it's going to be a few years before the whole thing completely develops. When the financial crash happens, see, here's some things I know the dates on. You know, some things, Nikki, I know timing on. So when people tell me about timing things and that I know from God on some timing thing, not all, you know, not all timing things, but some major timing thing, that 7 years is not a bad thing to say. I don't think it's, I'm not against you saying, I'm not against, because it could be, you know, something close to that. So birth pains, let me finish my statement on that. I want to make sure I make it really clear. So because I know timing on things, once the financial crash happens, with it's not just going to be the U.S., it's going to be a global thing, that is when the Antichrist financial system will begin to take over. So what's going to be the main thing that controls the world and what people do and who they bow to? It's going to be whether you get food in your stomach and feed your family.
Yeah.
Right. Basically, it's going to be the money. So that is about to happen. That is about to happen. I know the timing on it, and because I know the timing on it, when that happens, that is going to tell me, and then I will tell the world, or, you know, whatever, I will make it public that it is upon us. It's not going to be upon us. It's not the birthing pangs of it, or the way I think of birthing pangs of it. So your language may be right, but But when I hear people say we're only in the birthing pains, most people think that believes that that's like, that could be 20 years down the road. But 20 years down the road is pretty close. I mean, when you talk about the end of, when you talk about the end, that's pretty close. 20 years is not bad. You know, I mean, that's pretty close. But because I know timing, now when the financial crash happens, and if I got this all exactly correct, which we will find out, then I will be having to tell you and others and whoever else is on this thing, you know, and I think a lot of people are, is that we're, I don't know the exact date of the second coming of Jesus. I don't know that, but I do know the signs that he's given me. And one of them is my birthday, October the 7th, 2023, when Israel declared war, and knowing what I'm already called to do, and knowing all the red heifer thing, the Antichrist name he gave me 3 days later, the red heifer, and plus a multitude of other things too. This is just things that make sense to people. I don't talk about everything. The market mantle and all he's done with that. The gold and silver that we just bought, the transaction that we just made, October the 4th, and then that very day the global alert thing kicked in. That day, I mean, I didn't plan that day. I didn't know the global alert was going to happen. You know, it just happened. So you have to understand, the reason I get stuck on these things is because these are signs to me, who already knows things that most people don't know. And I've been, and God has shown me, and I've been right about them because I said what God said. And that's going to continue to be until God tells me it's changed. And we are looking at this very closely. When this financial crash happens, this is going to be the most major sign. It's going to be more than – it's going to be a bigger sign than Israel going to war. See, this is a big sign. What I'm talking about is going to be bigger than this, way bigger, because it's talking about global control of the money. I hope everybody's following
me. I'm hearing
you. I'm not very – I'm not very good at this, but I'm getting better of explaining things and putting them together in a puzzle so people can grasp it. Because I know it, but because I know it, it's not always easy for me to get it right so everybody else can understand it. So I'm doing my best. Just pray for me. But so that's happening. And the fact that this happened on my birthday, to me personally, it doesn't mean anything about anybody else, but my relationship with Michael, the archangel, and my calling to Israel, which I've known for many years, the red heifer thing that happened to me, just be the very red heifer that they're using to enter the Antichrist, just happened to be my friend's red heifer in Texas. Come on. I mean, that's like way out there. But to me, it's happening to me. So when the crash happens, Nikki, I'm going to be getting on here and saying, y'all, I tried to tell you, it is close. I tried to tell you that that we are there and the Antichrist name was revealed when the queen died on September the 12th for a reason. And I wasn't just flapping jaws and trying to raise money. And hopefully everybody knows that. We were doing God's work and God's will and saying what God's saying. And it's hard to grasp it. I'm getting this information, Nikki, and it's hard for me to grasp. Well, I can imagine somebody on the outside who doesn't know everything that I know. And I'm watching dates happen one after the other. One after the other, Nikki, dates and things happening. Yeah, it's unbelievable. So do I think that we're – I don't know what you – that's why I want to make sure we stop and talk about the birth pangs, because what some people say about birth pangs, they think it's like, well, you know, we still got, you know, 15, 20 years, which is a short time. Honestly, I think 15 or 20 years would be a short time. But that's not it. It's not that. That is not it. So when you say 7 years, are you saying – the coming of Christ or the Antichrist, as far as your opinion?
I think the coming of Christ. I think the coming of Christ. That's
okay,
my opinion.
You said something earlier about, okay, I got you. Yeah. I'm trying to make sure we make it clear. Awesome. Okay.
I mean, that's just my opinion. I think, you know,
we're
at the birth pains, but there's also a place where I'm seeing things speed up really quick.
Yeah.
I mean, this is happening very quickly. You know, one day in God's course is 1,000 years, right?
Something like that, yep.
Yep. So
whatever
if something's
right
happened
now,
in a year or two, let's see, how long has the queen been dead, a year?
Yes, almost exactly a year and a month. September the 8th, and it's October the 9th, a year ago, 2022. So that's a year and a month, almost 30 days.
There you go.
One year and 30 days, I believe.
The red heifers, the Antichrist being, his name's being exposed. Now Israel's at war. I mean, this is all within a year. What's going to happen in 7 years? Jesus will be back. I mean, that's just the way I'm seeing it.
It's hard to grasp that. I mean, when I hear you say that, even though I know things, part of me goes, what? I mean, I'm just being honest, you know, because I want to be very real when I'm talking. I don't want to be hyper-spiritual. Yeah, I know everything God tells me. I know, I believe it. It's going to happen. And, yeah, I don't struggle with it at all. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be totally honest because I want people who learn to hear from God that you struggle with things, even when you know God's telling you. You still have to live with it yourself. And it's a process that I do not want to fake and be like some of the people that I know who have, you know, did their best to act like they believed and knew everything when half the time it didn't even come to pass. And so the truth is, it's even though God tells you himself, when God spoke to Moses in the burning bush and the voice of God is coming out of there and his hair is curling, he's going like, oh, my God, Moses. You are going back to Egypt. Pharaoh is dead. You know what I mean? Could you imagine that? And he's sitting there going, can you give me a sign? I mean, I can relate to that. I have to tell you. And it's not because if it was being done to somebody else, you're more readily to believe it. If it was happening to you, if Nikki told me that, pretty much I'd be going like, yeah, I could believe that, man. That's amazing. But what is happening to you, little old you, Moses was rejected. He had been gone for 40 years, and now God shows up in a mountain where he just happened to be staying with some sheep? Come on, man, out of the blue and a bush. And then he puts his hand, he says, throw your rod down, Moses. And it turns into a snake. And this is showing you what Moses was really like. He took off running. He takes off running. I mean, he takes off running. Hey, Nikki, I hate to say it, but I can really identify with that because it's so, you know, I mean, it's like, dear God, you know, he takes off running and God says, wait a minute, Moses, my courageous man, come back, Moses, and grab it by the tail. And he's kind of like going, what? So he does it, you know, and then he puts his hand in his, and he says, if they don't believe that, you know, puts his hand in his, in terms of leprosy. Leprosy, you know, then was a major thing. You didn't get over that. Puts his hand back in there, and God says, put his hand back in there and pulled it out, and it was healed.
Uh-oh, did I lose you? I lost Randy. Hello? Maybe I didn't. Randy.
Okay,
there you are.
He just went bad or something. Sorry, what was I at? What part of the Moses was I at?
Yeah, you were talking about how he stuck his hand and got leprosy and stuck it back in there and it was healed. And all I could think about, and how old was he? He was an old man.
Yeah, he was 80 years old. He's going like, not at this time, God. You could have got me when I was 40. I was more ready. I was ready to kill some Egyptians over you. But, you know, so what he does, he gives him the rod. He takes off running. He comes back, grabs him by the tail, puts his hand in there, leprosy, and you know, puts it back in there, got healed. And then God goes, Moses, if they don't believe the first sign, and if they don't believe the second sign, take them out to the river, and you will take water from the river and pour it out on the ground, and it will turn to blood. That's what he told him. I mean, I just read it again because I have to read it all the time to you know, because I put myself in there with Moses thinking, you know, because so you can get the real image of what it's like to be a human being and all that stuff happening to you. This is crazy. And so he tells him that. He's going like, okay, you know, and then he's still like, you know, but I can't talk, you know, and he says, yes, you can. And Moses goes, no, I can't. He said, okay, Aaron's on his way. It's kind of like that. Like, you know, so it's like, my God. I mean, some of that stuff, you know, I can relate to it to a certain degree because it's easy, you know, when you think of somebody else that who's great or has it together or something or whatever, but using you to do that stuff, that's what makes it difficult. It's not that God can't do it. You know he can do it. But can he can do it through you, through me? Like, I believe you can, God. I don't know how, but help my unbelief. You know, and that's really, I don't care. People who have not been in positions like that and go on and act like they just had it all together all the time, I'm going like, you know, you're a very special person because I know everybody, including Moses and some of the great deliverers in the Bible, who had the same problem I have had. So maybe you're special. Maybe you're better than Abraham. Maybe you're better than Moses. Maybe you're better than, you know, some of the others. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I really relate to these guys. And so that's what makes it difficult. So God has to keep telling me over and over again, did the red heifer thing. He did, you know, 3 days after he gave the name, after the queen died, you know, and then, you know, several other things that happened. And then when does Israel get attacked and it's opening up the whole world to war, you know, and it's all about the Middle East right now, which is biblical. And it happens on my birthday. I mean, at my 70th birthday. Yeah. I mean, that's not for other people. I don't really care. I'm asking people to believe or not believe. That doesn't make a difference to me. It's for me. It's for me. It's Moses. It's God saying to Moses. It's God saying to Randy. It's God saying to, you know, Gideon. You know, hey, how many more signs do you need, Mr. Chandler? I'm going, I don't know, man. This is crazy. And so it's happening, man. It's actually happening. So when the financial crash happens.
So I got another question.
Okay.
I got another question. It's kind of different, but more the same.
All right.
Do you think that there's going to be an invasion in America's soil?
I haven't gotten anything on that. So I say no right now. I mean, but I haven't gotten anything on it. I know people are saying that. You know, it's very possible that we could have, you know, some things. I mean, you can always have, it depends on what you mean by invasion. The invasion is like a 911 thing or something worse.
Well, there's already an invasion because we have open borders. But I mean, like what happened to Israel. They just started shooting, open fire, and taking them hostage and doing all this stuff to the, you know, the Israelis. So I was just wondering if, because, I mean, we already have an invasion. They're coming by the droves to America.
But that's not an invasion. That's not an invasion like what you're talking about. You're talking about a possible invasion because of the people. That, in a sense, it's an invasion, yeah. But it's not really, nobody's being killed, you know, I mean, as far as in masses, and that, I know that's going on. But I see what you're saying. I got your point, yeah. So I don't know. Yeah. I think that there's definitely a possibility. I think that America getting right with God is the part of the prophecies that I do like about our brothers, like the ones that are on, what's her name? I can't think of her name anyway. Lance Ball now, all those guys. There you go. Yeah, those guys. I love those guys. I love them. People think I don't, but I do. I speak very plainly. As a prophet, I have to speak plainly about things so people know where I stand. And but I love them, and you know, I think that they're standing up for the righteousness of America. It could very well be an amazing thing that could happen. But if they're thinking that it's going to make America great again in the way that it was, be number one, that is not going to happen. Never. That's done. That's over. But if they're praying and trying to believe God to get America itself to be righteous before God, then I think that could save America a lot of trouble. If we don't do that, Nikki, however, then there's no telling what can happen. Because here's one way or the other, God's going to make America great, but in a way that it's going to be a servant and not a bunch of – I mean, it's one thing to have sinners in your world, homosexuals and lesbians and transgenders in our world. We love them. But it's another thing for the government to approve of it. See, that's what's wicked about it, is that the government approves of it. And then we have to live with it. It's one thing to love them, forgive them, bless them, and help them. It's another thing for our government to approve. So since our government is more about what our government's done than it is about what the people have done, you're always going to have sinners. You're always going to have people who have perversions and weird things going on, adultery and fornication and, you know, all kinds of stuff. It's going to be there until Jesus comes back. But it's when you're – so here's the problem with America. That if that doesn't change, which Trump was in the process of doing that, and that's what I liked about him, is that he was in the process of changing that. If that doesn't change, you know, pretty soon, then we're going to be in deep trouble. Here's the problem. Right now, God is working on getting America to be weak, because if it's not weak, Trump would be president. This war would have probably never happened. That's probably true. But guess what? God wanted it to happen. So what did he do? He got a weak America, so that he could do, because God can do anything he wants to, but it's very difficult for God to do what he's doing for the end times if America is strong. That's why Trump's not president, not because he struck the rock only, but it's more of because that God has chosen to move on with it, and so therefore, Trump did not become president. A weak president became president. And because of that, God's going to be able to get what he wants done. And that's it, period. And so whatever it takes number one, here's the next thing that's got to happen. Joe Biden or his crew are going to have to, they need to finish sealing up the deal of signing over our sovereignty, or however you want to say it, to where America is no longer number one anymore. That has more to do with our money, our dollar bill, than it does anything. But when our dollar bill is weak, we're going to be weak whether they change any laws or not. See what I'm saying? Once the dollar bill becomes – because what makes America great is that our dollar is used all over the world, right? That's what makes America great as far as in that way. So once that dollar thing is done, which basically it is done, when I signed that deal, when I got the contract going and the thing going on with that deal I made about gold and silver – And that sealed up that day, that pretty well told me that the dollar is about to be worthless. So that's why God had me do that, with a transfer of wealth, because the dollar is about to become nothing. And so
Biden has to do that. That has to be completed, and God's using him to do that. He wants the dollar to be weak. He wants there to be a whole other currency. You know, Texas is going to have a currency, and the one world government is going to have a currency, and maybe Florida's going to have, you know, with Texas and other states around the globe are going to have the same currency or something similar, gold and silver. And the one world government is going to have their currency, right? That's what's happening now. And whatever it takes, if it takes America being boxed in a little bit, you know, an attack by whatever, then that will happen. I don't have a word about it. But if Biden is left to finish his job, there will not need to be an attack on America, Nikki. Because the job got getting done, Biden is doing, like you said earlier, he's doing a great job. He's doing a great job. So if he keeps doing his great job, then we won't need an attack from whatever. All right, I'm going to take another caller. Great. I'd love this. Okay. Any more questions you want to ask real quick?
No. Just will you pray for me and Charles?
Okay. Hang on just a second, please. Hang on just 1 minute.
Okay.
Okay, I'm back. And then we'll take another caller here. I think Glenn's on the line. We're going to talk to Glenn for a little bit here. All right. Thank you, Nikki and Charles. Thanks for coming on and sharing all your thoughts and opinions and all that. I love it. I appreciate it. Let's pray for you guys. I'm going to mute you right now. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you for showing them how to pray, God, and coming out of agreement with all those people that are prophesying the wrong stuff. You got to come out of agreement with all that. Like you say, keep the good, throw away the bad. When the harvest comes in, the net, a fish, you know, Jesus said, you know, just keep the good and throw away the bad. So that's, teach them how to do that. Teach me how to do that. Teach all of us how to do that. Well, we don't reject the people, but we also have to be, I'm an alarm person. I alarm people when people are doing things and they're saying one thing. And if God shows me if they mean something else, I will tell you that that's what they really mean. And so I'm not going to pity paddle around with that. I'm going to be very blunt. If people have a problem with that and calling names and stuff, then I guess you just find some else to listen to, I guess. So that's what we're going to continue to do and try to do as gracious as we can. Sometimes it's difficult. I'm a very passionate person, and I think God made me like that for a reason. I'm not lukewarm. As far as I know, if I am, God will convict me of anything of that. So Lord, teach Nikki and Charles how to, you know, they're going to have to understand. See, once you understand what God's doing, you can dump that other stuff quick, man. It's like you don't even want it to come to pass anymore. If you want things to, all men's kingdom to come to an end. When you start thinking like that, and that this is the process, and you start saying amen to Joe Biden, you know, I would never vote for him and his policies. I'm not sure where he's at on abortion. Some things I just still totally don't agree with his party on. But all at the same time, the Republicans said they didn't like abortion, but they never stopped it until Donald Trump, or tried to stop it until Donald Trump. Yeah, they're a bunch of hypocrites. You know, it's politics. It's a game they play. And so, but they say they will, and these people to vote for them. I voted for it, and they were just full of it, basically. Teach Nick and Charles how to watch, be watchmen, and be true watchmen. Well, we have to suck up to anybody for anything, you know, as far as, you know, trying to be nice. Well, don't call their names, man. Don't be saying it. And you're talking bad about our brothers. You know, I mean, I used to say the same thing, so I know what that's like. And I would have said the same thing if I'd have heard me doing that years ago. But now I call the apostle and I read the scripture. I actually go to the Bible and read the Bible and find out the Bible that people had authority to do that. They did it for alarm systems. I have an alarm system built in me. And when I get an alarm system, the Lord says, tag the name on that so I know exactly who you're talking about. Don't piddle-paddle trying to make them guess. Be specific. Be detailed. Tell them exactly who you're talking about, just like Paul the apostle did. If you have a problem with that, go talk to Paul about it. That's what I tell people. I love you, but you know, I have a lot of people, including me, mainly people who love me, and I really love me, who try to change my mind on a lot of things. And if I'd have done it, I'd have been a false prophet for sure. Maybe my own wife. Randy, you think you should say the George Bush Republicans going to be turning on Trump? Can't you just say the Democrats? I mean, and that'd be better. But if I'd have listened to that, you know, and bless her heart, she was just trying to help me, truly help me. If I'd have listened to that, I'd have been a false prophet.
This is exactly what happened. They were George Bush. That's what, in the dream, that's what I saw. But people always trying to get you to change your word because they don't have the revelation. And you have to have forgiveness and understanding for them because you know they don't have that revelation. They're just trying to help you, and they truly are trying to help you. But Peter tried to help Jesus, and Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." He wasn't very nice about it. He dealt with it directly and specifically. And so if you have a problem with that, not you guys, but people in general have a problem with that, please go to your Bible and read your word and find out what God is saying instead of what people, the religious spirit will tell you, all kind of things. All right, love you guys. All right, 414-534, Glenn, my buddy Glenn. You got a bad buzzing going on with your, a really bad, bad buzzing.
Bad buzzing.
If you'll speak the phone or something. I can't even hear you. Whoops. All right, let's try that again. How are you doing, man?
How about now?
That's much better. Thank you. Yeah, I couldn't even hardly hear you at all. Yeah. All right, great. So give us the lowdown, man, or the up-down, or the update, or what do you think? Tell us what's happening. What do you think?
Well, a lot of information that was just discussed there in that last hour. There were two prophetic people that are no longer with us. About 20 years ago, Dimitri Dudeman, who smuggled Bibles into Romania, was one of them. And recently, Henry Groover, who was kind of like a prayer walker, he passed away about a year or so ago. Both of them more or less had said that they saw, if you want to use the word invasion, they did say that something would happen. Now,
right.
The thing is, the Lord led me to a video on YouTube. It's basically from an economic expert. His name is Ray Dalio. And if people really wanted to understand the whole thing about the world's reserve currency, that will tell you everything you need to know and exactly what's happening. It's basically, you know, how they say it fits like a glove. So just as you were saying, you know, you're waiting for the crash to come. Now, according to Ray, you know, without waiting, you know, screwing up the video and ruining it if anybody wanted to listen, but there are known cycles through the last couple hundred years on how this all works, and basically said that somebody that used to be the world's reserve currency nobody can stay on top forever. So we took over from the British pound after we, you know, created the nation, and after some time, you know, we were able to be supreme over the British pound. And then we are on the downswing. You go up to the top, and then you got to spend a lot of money and do all these things. And now we're on the downswing. And the one thing that is said by Ray is that sometimes the next up-and-comer, which the graph clearly shows is China, that sometimes there are skirmishes, or if you want to call it a war or whatever, to consolidate and make sure that the leading, you know, country that has the reserve currency to basically put a complete end to them. So that's the possibility I see. But basically what Ray has outlined is happening to the letter, and it's only a matter of time. And there's a story after story that I see on my news feed. All the BRICS countries are dumping the dollar. They're dumping the treasuries. And it's basically only a matter of time to where the rest of the world just throws away their dollars. And then basically that just destroys the dollar to the point where it's worthless. So there's your crash.
Right. So let me ask you this then. Good point. So when the dollar – so one of the things that could bring the U.S. down – for sure, is the fact that the U.S. dollar is worthless. Therefore, the U.S. is basically weakened, right? Because our currency, I mean, they've been voting already, as most people know, voting it out and using the other currency, because we have been using the dollar to restrict their, you know, ability to trade. you know, and so
right.
So they're going like, hey man, up your with the dollar, so we don't need it anymore. So
exactly.
That's going to make it weak, don't you think? Yeah, that'll make America weak,
absolutely.
Right within itself.
You know, like when there was a time that when you had a Federal Reserve note that you could take it to the bank and it said right on it, you could exchange this for a dollar of silver or, you know, whatever amount. It got to the point when Nixon was in office that we did not have enough gold to back all the printed money. So they decided to come on TV and make it look like there was another reason for it, but Nixon announced that they were removing gold from the dollar. So the deal that was made with OPEC, because of a lot of Texas oil people helped Saudi Arabia with all their oil fields early on, that we agreed to buy their oil, but they also had to sell it in American dollars. So no matter who was buying it, they had to acquire U.S. dollars. So that's called the petrodollar. So that's been happening now for 50 years, but now everybody is tired of the big bully American dictating policies and trade and whatnot. And so it's all coming to an end. And it is just part of the natural economic cycle that has been going on for a couple hundred years. I mean, we're not even that old when it comes to how long this has been going on. So that's all explained. That's exactly, you know, how it's going to go. So the only hope that we have, you know, is what you have been saying and what you have actually done, and I've done some of that myself personally, is that, you know, at no time in the Bible am I aware that there was any paper money. There was just all coins. You know, throw your rod into the sea, and you'll catch a fish with two gold coins. You use one to pay, you know, your tax, and use the other one for mine. It's always a coin. And so it goes back to the gold and the silver.
Wow. Interesting. That's a good way to put it. Yeah, I like that. So the fact that the U.S. did the dollar thing and the paper did the paper thing with the dollar and then Nixon did his thing, that within itself opened up the door for our own destruction.
That propped
basically
up the dollar for a while. That was like the
right
Band-Aid on the broken leg. But now you're actually getting China to convince Saudi Arabia to use the, I don't know how you pronounce it, it's spelled Y-U-A-N, the yuan, I think it's called.
The yuan,
but
yeah, the yuan.
This is
yeah
clearly the coming world's reserve currency. So America is going to take a back seat, just like you said, it fits like a glove, that we're going to be brought low, and we're not going to be the world superpower. So basically that is hard to even comprehend because, you know, for the
yeah
59 years I've been alive, I mean, I've never known anything other than, you know, the great America and, you know, if it wasn't for
yeah
us, blah,
me too,
blah, blah, blah. But there's a lot
mm-hmm
of people that are fed up with us. Now, unfortunately, there have been some bad times where we got involved in things that we shouldn't have and all of that. I mean, basically
right,
war
right
equals money, you know. So right now, I
yeah
mean, you
oil
believe that the one thing that I heard from a source, and I can't back this up, but I'm just going to throw it out there. The money that is being given to the Ukraine, you know, they're just unloading billions. I mean, we got $33 trillion in debt, and we can't stop a rogue president from, you know, here's $8 billion, here's another $10 billion, you know? And so the whole thing is all that money is being funneled through the Ukraine, and it's going into BlackRock and Vanguard. And they're going to do the Rothschild. They're going to buy the war on both sides. And it's basically all been prophesied through there's some book in some I think it's a British museum that these elite, they have certain rules, if you want to call them that, and they don't exactly tell you exactly what they're going to do, but they have to, you know, kind of tell you what they're going to do indirectly. And so there was a book that's been around a long time that declares that they planned on three world wars. And here we are all these years later, and it's going down. You know, it's just unbelievable. It's hard to take in all of this.
You know,
you were saying that, you know, with Nikki and I'm sitting here scratching my head going, I don't even know what to do with it, you know. But the whole thing is you know, the basis is that, you know, there's, you look at all the different options a person can have in whatever they believe in, whether they don't believe in anything or if they have this religion or that religion. When you add it up at the end of the day, the outline that has the most proof and the most backing is Bible prophecy of Christianity. I've done a thorough study on all kinds of things, the New Age even. And so it's crazy, you know, that you go, okay, you know, you pick box one, two, or three, and then, you know, go with it or whatever. But when you are into prophecy, I've been studying prophecy for 25 years, and I've been looking at, you know, all the different signs, and I keep a like a little record book at what important things. Now, when Nikki was just on and she was talking about Matthew 24, that's the longest statement Jesus spoke in all of prophecy about the last days. I mean, that is just the longest thing. There's a lot in there. But when you look at the details, now, your friend with the red heifer, that was huge. I mean, there's just thousands of years, and all of a sudden you've got, you know, the open door to sacrifice the red heifer, to start building the temple, all these things, the Jewish law that they all have, most people, would, their head would explode if I would tell them, you know, like in 15 minutes what I could say, you know, quickly. And so the whole thing is, I mean, that gets you close because you know, and we talked about this before, that the red heifer has to be a minimum of 2 years old in order to be sacrificed. So those red heifers were very young. And so by the time that they got there and whatever, they can be as old as they can be. There's no limit on the maximum, but usually as time goes on, like you and I mean, you saw my face a little bit on that one Zoom show. I mean, I got all kinds of gray hairs coming out of my chin. And so the odds say that, you know, sooner or later, the gray hairs are going to come or the white hairs, and then it's going to be disqualified, right? So you got to look at how much time do you have to fulfill the red heifer. Then the other things are that there's the wormwood star that's going to hit the earth. The Bible says there's going to be some kind of a star that's going to impact, and it's called wormwood. If you look in the Ukrainian Bible at the word wormwood, it translates Chernobyl, believe it or not. So
right. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I do, you know, you know, the guy that you had on the show, you know, that did the red heifer, I mean, that guy, he's got knowledge probably even beyond me, that he knows all of his astronomy and the positions and all that, the sun and the signs and the sun and moon and stars. But we have an asteroid known to be coming back on Friday the 13th, April 13th, 2029, called Apophis, A-P-O-P-H-I-S.
Friday the 13th?
Friday the 13th on April, Friday the 13th, believe it or not. I mean, as soon as I saw that, my jaw dropped.
I love it, yeah.
Well, the thing is the Gregorian calendar isn't the Jewish calendar. I mean, it's a world of difference.
Yeah.
But now the thing is, you know, when you're talking about the seven main feast days of the Jewish realm, one that's probably the most important, and you were talking about this a little before, when the war in 67 happened, there was a surprise attack on the holiest day of the year for the Jewish realm. That is Rosh Hashanah. That is the Feast of Trumpets. So basically, everybody was supposed to have their guard down. They weren't going to be ready for it, and they came in. And in 6 days, Israel had defeated the total enemy and then actually gained all that extra land back, you know, the Golan Heights, the Gaza Strip, and the other one. So that just shows you right there that back then in 67, you know, when that all went down, God was not going to allow it. But there was something said today by a guy that does a show just about every day that made a comment that made me think a little bit. He said between the United States and Israel, both countries, when it comes to their governing of the people, they're both guilty of the same thing. And basically, it may actually have ramifications of God needing people to repent. It's kind of hard to blame the simple John Smith down the road just trying to earn a dollar and feed his family rather than talking about the people who make these rules and force the vaccination. But typically, you use terrorism in the realm of media. Like the typical media, they scare you saying, oh, my God, you got to get the vaccine. And then they get you scared, and then they have you take it, and they use a bioweapon, you know, that they put in you through a sort of an act of terrorism, you know, without using a weapon or a gun, I should say. So the thing is Israel, they gave more vaccinations out than anybody that I knew of for the per capita rate. And so, you know, whether or not what's happening right now has something to do with that, but it all ties in with what you're saying with the end times. So, you know, when you're looking at when could possibly be the total conclusion and Jesus' return, now, I believe firmly that because the Bible says he comes at the last trumpet, there are several trumpet blasts during Rosh Hashanah. And the very last one is the longest one blown. That is what the people are going to hear, but that's going to happen toward the very end. And so the whole rapture thing, I don't believe in that at all. And so you're talking about, if you want to divide up the pie, 3.5 years, it says in the midst of the week, of the Daniel 70 weeks, so you can call 3.5 years. And then it says, Revelation 13, 16, that he'll force the mark, you know, on everybody, you know, and cause the hindrance of people from getting their food. So if you look at, let's say, like the Apophis is April 2029. Let's just say, for instance, there's a speculation that at the end of that year, after the wormwood had hit, we're looking at September time frame is always when Rosh Hashanah falls. So Rosh Hashanah 2029, if you count 7 years back, you know, you look at the possibility of when the countdown started, and then you add a little bit of time to get us to the middle or the 3.5 years, and then you'll know that when the red heifers are going to be sacrificed, when the temple is going up. Oh, and by the way, like I had said in the text, the issue with the temple is that the mosque, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, that is controlled by a Muslim realm called the Waqf, W-A-Q-F. I don't even know
right.
how to spit that out.
I'm familiar with it,
so
yeah.
When the 67 war happened, whoever said that, you know, they controlled the mount after they had this six-day war, they could have put up the temple right then and there, and
yeah.
it would have been over
yeah.
with, but somebody just happened to give control of the temple mount up to this other
yes.
realm. And you would think, why would some idiot do that? But it was all in God's timing. So the whole thing
yeah.
is we have a problem. We have a Muslim mosque sitting on top of the Temple Mount. There's no Jewish temple, but we have one soon to appear. But how are you going to build a Jewish temple on the surface of the Temple Mount where there's a mosque, where if you take one stone out of that mosque, there'll be a war? Or they'll rebuild it instantly, you know. So you
yeah.
got to have somebody that's neutral to make this happen. And there's been all kinds of speculation. Where is the Temple Mount going to go? Are they going to rip down the Al-Aqsa Mosque or the Dome of the Rock? Because the Dome of the Rock is supposedly right where the Jewish temple is supposed to go. So the wording in the scripture says they look at the temple where it ought not. That's what the King James says, where it ought not. And so
yeah.
you could maybe say that they're going to put it somewhere else other than maybe where it should go. And you might have the Jewish temple sitting right next to the Dome of the Rock, and they're both in unison, and somehow the Antichrist gets everybody on the same page and allows it all to happen. But nobody has the answer for that.
Yeah, hey, hang on a second. Dude, that's amazing. That's really some really good info. Think about this. When you were saying that, And how they're going to do it, and I don't know if this would fit into it or not. I'm just talking out. But look at what's happening right now. Israel is Netanyahu is saying today that basically he's going to wipe them off the map, basically. He's going to get rid of them. Just think if they make that decision to not care what the Muslims think about anything, if they do that, then the mosque thing, I mean, that could be taken care of in the spirit of that moment. Do you think? Think about that. What if they just totally turned against all Muslim, I don't know who all they're friends with right now. Trump did a real good job of getting them with some of the Arab countries. And so just think if they just kind of went with, no more of these people, as far as in Israel. We're going to take Hamas out in Gaza and just start, we're going to build our temple. And you know, I don't know if they're going to tear it down, the Al-Mosque, I think, or what they're going to do. But that could open the door for that.
Yeah,
possibly.
I mean, we'll just have to kind of, observe and watch and see how this is going to unfold. There was a story that I posted not long ago. It actually said Saudi Arabia is very close to a peace, agreement with Israel.
Right.
So the thing is, one would think that the world would be mad at Israel for using excessive force. I mean, you're always going to have someone crying about who's the bully. Now, the thing is, they don't care that they initiated. There was a music festival in the desert somewhere, and I've got a little video on that, where that was known from these attackers, and they destroyed everybody and all their cars. It looks like a wasteland. And so the thing is, just by seeing these videos, and there's a couple hundred, Jewish people that are dead and, whatever. They also said they're calling up 300 more IDF reservists. So that's
right.
In the works. But, the bottom line is, we're just trying to figure out how this Jewish temple is going to, get up on top of the mount somewhere. And that, in order to, I guess, as long as they sacrifice the heifer, outside of the temple realm, that's the first thing they got to do. But once they have that and they mix it with some, water, they've got the ashes of the red heifer. So those ashes, are important to do their purifying process. Oh, the other thing is the Pool of Siloam, or which is known as Bethesda. I also put that information up where that was actually found in 2004. There was a sewer break, and naturally when there's a sewer break, if it's here in the United States, when you got water gushing out, you get the backhoe out and you dig and you find out where the leak is. And so when the backhoe was digging, it made a really wicked sound with the teeth dragging across whatever stone was buried in the ground, and because of the sound, they knew that there was something special about it, and it turns out it was very old rock from the original Pool of Siloam, where Jesus told a guy to go wash his eyes in the water, and then he was no longer blind. So the thing is in order for the whole process of people to make their little trek to the Temple Mount when it gets up and going, you have to be purified. So baptism is called mikvah. And so I don't know if it's something as simple as that you're maybe knee-high in the water, and at least if you walk through the water up to your knees, that at least that's acceptable to walk up the path and then get onto the temple mount. I'm not sure on the outline. But the pool was known, they found it, and then it sat until just like a year ago, or maybe a year and a half. And I'm not exactly sure on the date, but I've got videos posted on my prophetic site that tell you that it should take maybe 2 years to get it totally rebuilt and up and running for the public. So that's another sign. You got your red heifer. We got the uncertainty of how the temple's going to go up. But in order for anybody to go to that temple, you got to have that pool of Siloam and function, and they're working on it right now. I'd say there's about another year left to get that up and running. So if you look at just the little things with the heifers, the pool of Siloam, the war that's going on now, we're probably going to see some kind of an indicator on how that's going to go down. And then you're talking about, well, eventually the bad boy himself is going to have to get revealed at some point, you know, and then you'll right. know for sure when he goes into the temple and he calls himself God. You know, that happens in the midst of the 70 weeks of Daniel. Then you can, that's 3.5 years to the end, and you can go all the way. And people say, well, you can't know for sure that you know, someone that says that the Feast of Trumpets can be the day. And the thing is, it's very simple to unravel that. When you look at any given new month in the Hebrew calendar, they look for the first sliver of the new moon. You got to have two witnesses in Israel cite the sliver of the new moon, right? So all the other dates of all the other parts of the year are all pretty much, you know, written in gold. But because of the Rosh Hashanah is different, you never know when you're going to see the first sliver of the new moon. So that tells you you don't know what day it's going to be or what hour it's going to be, but you can get relatively close. I believe
right.
that
I think
is
so,
an
yeah.
easy interpretation. But people, they have to know their prophecy to understand that. Otherwise, they're really out there. You know, they're guessing.
Yeah. The fact that it says that you're not going to know the day or the hour, I guess that could be interpreted many different ways. You know, is it really the day, like 24-hour day, and the hour, like within, you know, 60 minutes? You know, so if it literally means the day or the hour, as in 24 hours, and, you know, then I think we can too. It's very simple to be able to go, you know, that could happen next week without breaking scripture. You don't have to know the day of the hour, but you're going to be going like, hey, yeah, that's going to happen. That could happen like in the next week or so. I agree with that. Totally agree with that. I think people have really outdone that information and make it like, we could never know anything about anything. Jesus totally contradicted all that.
Yeah. You know, the thing is people have to have a good understanding, and they have to do a good amount of research to get their brain rewired to the Hebrew. You know, I still have debates with people about the holidays the Christians follow. And yet I ask people, okay, if you believe in that, show me the scripture that tells you, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, basically
yeah.
it always ends up to an argument. But the whole
right.
thing is
yeah.
God said in Leviticus early on, he said, these
yeah.
are my appointed days or festivals.
Exactly.
You know, these are the days that you should follow. And so you have a church that believes in the Jewish Messiah, and he died literally on Passover. He fulfilled Passover
yeah.
to the very
literally.
Day. And yet they have another program different than following who their Jewish Messiah actually followed himself, according to Leviticus. You know, it's just, it's mind-boggling
yeah.
on how people, you know, think. And so, you know, it's better not to get too much into it. But, you know, I was just showing my mom the other night.
I love it.
Says, you know, the issue about this one's a simple, I guess would be a third grade math equation. You know, they say that Jesus was on the cross from the 6th hour to the 9th hour. And so the first hour of the day in the Israel realm is 6 a.m. So that 6 hour is noon, 9th hour is 3 o'clock. So he spent 3 hours on the cross, and then he cried out, you know, in a shout and gave up his spirit. And so basically their whole Jewish realm says that he has to be in the tomb by sundown, you know. So they had a couple hours to deal with that, right? So it says, you know, Jesus says, I will be in the heart of the earth the same time Jonah was in the belly of the big fish or the whale, 3 days, 3 nights. So they do split up a day and a night, 12 hours each in Israel. So you can literally easily say that 3 days and 3 nights is three 24-hour periods. So if Jesus died, let's say, at 3 o'clock Friday afternoon, you got to count three 24-hour periods. So Friday is the beginning, then Saturday, basically Saturday afternoon 3, Sunday afternoon 3, and then Monday afternoon 3. That's the earliest that he could technically rise if you count from Friday at 3 o'clock. Now, whatever happened to sunrise Sunday morning service, where basically you cannot fit that 3, you know, and so people don't even do the simple math to know that they're an error in that. So,
yeah.
You know, you just try to
yeah.
deal with telling them exactly
yeah.
how the Jewish Jesus's outline had worked from day one. And the thing is most people are too busy playing church and not,
yeah,
you know,
okay.
at least doing the study and research
yeah.
and all
so
that.
When
it, but,
so when you talk about the red heifer thing, I talked with, you know, the guy who's very involved with the Jewish crew, who is, I think his name right now, Byron Stinson. Byron Stinson, you know
right.
who Byron Stinson is?
Yep.
Byron Stinson, I've talked with him on the phone a couple times. My friend with the red heifer, his brother had red heifer, my friend Brian, who I've been friends with for years, he turned me on to Byron and said, and so Byron is the guy who, you know, connected the Jews with the red heifer, connected the Jews with Brian's brother, who we had on the show, and had
mm-hmm.
actually had the red heifer. And so so he started talking about this thing. He started telling me, he said, Randy, people don't understand that it says the red heifer has to be 3 years old. But 3 years old, it's a Jewish thing. He said 3 years old can be 2 years and one day. Like you said
yeah.
that earlier. You actually said 2 years, but it's actually 3 years. But you're in your third year when you're, you know, one day past that 2 year. So it can be 2 years old and one day as far as, you know, being legally ready for that. Not that they'll do it then, but yeah. So there's a lot of things I think that people don't understand. I didn't understand that. I'm going like, okay, so we got 3 years before, you know, that could happen. He said, no, he said,
well,
we don't know when it's going to happen.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Did you ever write down or document the birth of, you know, the red heifers? I mean,
no.
You know, it would be nice to know exactly when they were born. That way you could, you know the minimum time before they could be sacrificed. I think the way things are going, you know, looking at the Apophis asteroid, if that is truly Wormwood, and, you know, just the way things are developing, that I'm sure that these heifers are not going to be sacrificed on the early side. The pool asylum is going to take another year. So if you look at how quick should somebody, you know, destroy the enemy and then start, you know, doing the temple building, you know, if it were that easy, you know.
Yeah.
So I kind of lean that if you look at the Apophis coming April of 2029, I think the earliest that Jesus would return would be, you know, September of the same year. So you're talking 2029 September, and this is just my brain hashing things out because I'm a high-end analytical
yeah,
thinker.
I got you.
And so the
yeah.
whole thing is, I mean, we're 2023 now, and we just passed Rosh Hashanah. So from this point on to, let's say, 2029 Rosh Hashanah, that's 6 years. So now the thing is,
right.
Did the clock start ticking already? Maybe the alarm that we just heard
was the
alarm for the countdown, you know, to start the beginning of the countdown. So that could have been, you know, yeah, that could have been the signal indirectly that God used, because, you know, you shut your first stage down with your investment and whatnot, and so then right there within a few hours, boom, the door is closed.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
yeah.
it wasn't like
hey.
The siren went off on Rosh Hashanah. That would have been a mind blower.
That would have been a mind blower, yeah. But listen to this,
yeah.
man. I mean, the thing, I'm just now kind of conceiving all this stuff, right, because it's happening to me. You know, it's personally, I have a lot of things that happen to me personally. with all this stuff. So when you sent that to me that it was one, I didn't even realize what time it started. I couldn't even remember if it was the same day. I never put all that stuff together until tonight when you helped me with that. So at 1:18, I finished that deal somewhere between 11:30 and 12:30 and been working on it, you know, several days on that specific deal, several days. And then I had been, you know, dealing with it for months and months and months, trying to decide, you know, we're going to go with the market. We're going to buy gold stocks. We're going to go buy gold. What are we going to? So, I mean, I went over all over the place. And so when that actually, and people don't have a clue the pressure I was under, because I'm feeling responsible for, God gave me the mantle for the market, right? He gave me the, so it, all this pressure's coming on me like, and Randy, you know, I give you the mantle. What are you doing? Where's my deal? You know, I mean, I no way I can explain it. And I mean, I'm waking up every morning and I sleep like a baby no matter what's going on most of the time. And I'm going, every morning I'm going like, dear God, I'm starting to cry out to God and groaning. God, you know, it's your deal. How come you don't make the deal? How come you're not helping me? I start putting it back on God. How come you're not making, where's that deal? How come we're not making the deal? What's going on with the deal? What's going on with the deal? What kind of deal are we making? I mean, there's 100 different deals you could make on this thing, dude. People don't realize that what I was going through personally, and I'm not saying it because I'm complaining. I'm just saying that this is what's really going on. For months and months and months, I'm going like, okay, God, how, what, when, where. And it's one thing to talk about all these different ways of doing something. It's a whole other thing to do what God wants and do it specifically, because he didn't tell me, or at least I didn't think he told me, specifically what detailed thing to do, right? That was a big deal. And so when finally, you're talking about those alarms going off, less than an hour after we got that deal done and paid for it and the transaction was completed, and I said, right now, that price is right there, right? The guy who's working with me said, yeah, that price, you got that price right there in the market, because that's where the market's at right now. You got that price. If nothing else goes right or wrong with it, he said, that's our deal. He said, that's it. That's a sealed deal. Once you paid for it in that moment, what the market was that day, that's it. No matter what the market is tomorrow, next week, next month, you got it at that price. So I just kind of went, and then the alarm goes off, like you said, at 1:18, less than 30 minutes later. Dude,
it was
like
actually,
said, I'm going,
they actually were giving a warning in advance. I mean, I had seen the heads up where they said it was going to go off at 2:20 Eastern time. So, you know, we're central.
Okay.
And I figured, well, 1:20. And then I heard the alarm go off. And then, you know, I looked at my phone and I hit, you know, because the Apple, you can hit the two buttons,
yep,
and then take a screenshot.
Yeah, take a picture,
so
yeah.
I wanted to get that, you know, just for evidence.
Yeah.
And then I sent you a picture of it. But,
Listen to this. We got so much to talk about, man. I'm loving this stuff, dude. Thanks for coming on. 1:18. You know what 18 means? 18 means bondage. 18 means bondage. That's what I know it to mean. And so one, it's like God is, I don't even know what 1:18 means. We're talking about this right now. But 18, we're coming out of bondage, man, just like Israel coming out of Egypt. They come out of bondage with the currency, with the gold and the silver. So, and when the alarm went off, when you said the alarm went off at that time, I'm going like, okay, let me go back and make sure. I even, on the show live, you know, tonight, I went back and made sure and looked at the receipt that I have on my phone from the company, and I had to make sure I got it. Okay, am I? Because I got so much information going on, so many numbers, so much stuff happening right now, I can't keep up with myself hardly. I went back and looked at it to make sure I wasn't missing it, and it was on Wednesday at around 12:50 something. That's when the final receipt was sent to me, and you know that was on Wednesday, October the 4th. I went, okay, confirmed. And then
less
you said the alarm went off, dude. less than an hour. Dude, that blew my mind. I'm going like, it's like God was telling me, Glenn, Randy.
Specifically,
good job, son. I'm well pleased with you. Woo, man. I was like, see, because
yeah,
most
chill,
people don't
man.
Have a clue the pressure I've been under. I've been under so much pressure lately. I mean, I felt like I'm going to take off a month, then I'll do the show for a month. I would never do that. But I was thinking, I can't handle all this. I cannot handle it. This is getting too heavy, too fast, too hard. And then my wife's situation with the family going on and that whole thing, and I talked a little bit about that. All that going on at the same time, dude. God was squishing me like a bug. I mean, you know, to bring me to a new place. It wasn't like a bad thing. I was
be like,
I was being
up squished
like
a Gumby.
Bug. Yeah, that's right. Let's see what we can get out of here. You know? And it really did a beautiful thing. I'm not complaining. I'm very thankful. But it was, and I couldn't tell anybody all that. It's like God would not, I'm going to position you where you cannot even talk about it. You know, my wife wouldn't let me talk about the cancer thing. I couldn't talk about the things with my father-in-law, all that was going on with that, that went on for like several years. And, I mean, it was crazy, man. And then we were coming down, so I said, God, what about the wealth transfer? What's going on with that? What are we doing? How are we doing this? And he kept showing me things. I talked about this on the show a couple weeks ago. I said, you know, I kept doing little things like throwing, you know, you sitting in your chair, you throw something at the trash can. You know, you never make it, right? But it's fun to try. I kind of slung it over there. It bounced off this, hit that, ran over that, and then went right into the trash can. And then I had thing after thing after thing after thing just like that happening to me constantly. And I said, Lord, what are you doing? Because, I mean, one time it hit this and that and the other and bounced around, and they went right into the trash can. I couldn't believe it. I said, what are you saying to me? He said, Randy, everything's on time. Everything's fine. Chill out. I'm going like,
you know,
God.
I was looking into the Texas, you know, doing their own money gold thing. And I looked
thing,
up the name of the guy that's the main guy, the main GOP rep. In Texas, and I decided to email them, and because I only can see that, you know, that they got something on record, and the latest date was not long ago, September, the end of September or something, but it didn't, didn't seem to me like, you know, it was done, you know, yet, but it looked like it was
right.
Close. And the thing is I said a couple of things to the guy. He says, you know, I can tell you that where everything is going, that, you know, we need this to be done, you know, in not too much longer in time, because I can tell you the economy will tank, and then we have the possibility of war breaking out, you know, and then throw in, you know, whatever else you want, another log on the fire. So I haven't heard back from him, but I wanted to see whether or not he would give me an update as to, you know, where they were at. So, you know, I don't know. Sometimes,
right. Well, here's,
I mean, you know, I says, I don't even live in Texas, but, you know, basically we need you guys to kind of lead the way, because you're the ones that are taking the point here. And, you know,
in order
for people to survive this, they're going to have to be in their own system, and you're basically, you know, you're the one that at least is getting it going. So if a person just simply, you know, was able to deposit, you know, whatever money that they had into an account, and then it would buy so much gold or silver, and then you get a debit card, and then from that point on, you could use your debit card, and basically anything you wanted to buy, it would come off of your gold, and they would do whatever. Naturally, there's going to be some fees involved or whatever. But, you know, we need that, you know, in order to not be caught up in the other system, which basically people will be starving. So,
So hang on a second. Okay, so good. That's really good news. Well, when somebody told me, you know, that it didn't pass, I said, no, it passed because I got it right here. Well, that was fake news. You know, I fell for the fake news too. So, and I told them, it's done, man. They did it. And then I called up. Here's what was happening. Here's the real story about what was happening with me. So I'm going, okay, you know, that word came from God about that. So I'm going to call them up and say, you know, how come because I couldn't find anything about it. I'm trying to find, where's the debit card at? I want the debit card. I want to tell my people about it. I want to tell my friends about it. And I couldn't, so I called the Texas State, right? I called them. I said, hey, y'all, my name's Randy Chandler, and, you know, what happened to the debit card thing? He said, well, sir, it didn't pass. A lot of people thought it passed because a lot of people put a lot of fake news out there. I said, yeah, I guess I went for that too. They said, yeah, you did, because it didn't pass at this time. And so I'm sitting there going, okay, let me ask you some questions. So if they do pass it, who handles the debit card? And they said, we do. So that is real, right? That I'm talking to the state itself, to the people working there. They said, yeah, we will handle the debit card. and you'll have storage. You will store your gold, which I open an account for Block Talk or PGN PGN Brandon Shannon Ministries Inc. I opened up an account which I have open right now with the Texas bullion currency thing, the Texas bullion depository, and so I said, well, okay, so what happened was so I'm sitting there talking to Jeff. Jeff is one of our friends on PGN, right? I'm talking to Jeff about it, and I said, hey, man, you know, this and that and the other, and we're going back and forth on stuff, and all of a sudden, right in the middle of me talking to him, I get a text that says they are now wanting to vote on it again. Now, whether this happened about 2 weeks ago. I can't remember the exact timing on it. I can find the exact detail. Maybe 2 to 3 weeks ago, I was talking with Jeff. If Jeff is listening, maybe he can come on and help me remember that. But we were talking, and right when I'm talking to him, up on my phone pops this thing, and I click on it and I go, like, I thought he was playing games with me. I thought Jeff was playing games with me. I said, dude, if you just send me this thing, like, kind of fake me out again, like, you get it, and laugh about it. He said, what? I don't know what you're talking about. I said, oh, my God. And I looked at it real close, and they're putting it out again to vote on it again. So maybe they listened to you, Glenn. You got them buzzed up. I don't know, but that is happening. Let me finish this. They're actually looking at voting on it again. So I think that the pressure on them from the citizens is really up. Go ahead.
Well, I would imagine so. There's a state government, Texas state government site, where actually it kind of looks like there's places for people to comment. I don't know if you have to have a login or whatever. And everybody's just on there, please sign us, you know. So, I mean,
yeah.
Everybody kind of is just hoping for this because I think a lot of people, they know what's going on. I mean, some people bury their head in the sand and not care. But it's hard to not care anymore because I don't know who
everything
hasn't been affected to where you really, you know, have to look into, you know, what's going on and what strategies, you know. I mean, at least ask somebody. I remember going through all of this when I took my dad, when my dad passed away, he had his IRA. And instead of cashing it in, I thought, well, let's just swing it over and do what they have is a gold or silver IRA. So you don't have to pay the taxes yet. And I figured I would just fling it over. And so I went through the same headache you did. I mean, basically all the things about spot price and locking it down and then, you know, just the whole transaction fees and whatnot. I mean, I was a little bit disappointed after all was said and done with the fees that they charge. And now that when you hold the gold in a vault, someone's vault, it'll probably cost you $100 to $125 a year to continue them holding it. And then, you can ask for them to sell it. And then, you know, basically you're just kind of watching the value of gold and silver. And then, you know, you're waiting for the crash. You're waiting for the numbers to just go gangbuster. And then the thing is, you know, are you going to have the debit card connected with it, or are you going to have to sell it and move the money and then put it in the other system? Because there are two depositories in Texas. The one that Texas created a couple years ago, that's an above-ground depository, but there's another one that's below ground to the south, southeast a little bit from where you are, and it's heavily guarded, and no one knows exactly where it is. And the guy that runs it, you know, that watches over it, they asked him, how much money could you hold in here? And I can't – it was just a massive number, billions and I don't know, whatever. So the whole thing is I'm sure a lot of people have looked at the precious metals because, like I said earlier, the Bible, you know, used coins, you know, for a long time. So paper money is just, you know – I mean, especially when there's no gold backing it. So, I mean, you know, we see it. It's just a matter of to kind of be up on your knowledge of everything and be open to the possibilities and just, you know, let others know what you know.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, one of the things that came up with all this was, like, I knew, you know, like Russia and China, they're buying gold. I mean, you know, I've had all these different people tell me who's buying gold. So what good did it do PGN to buy our little, you know, according to what they, the other people bought, you know, millions and billions of dollars buying gold. And so what good is our little bit? God, what's going on with that? He said, Randy, just obey me and do what I tell you, because the fact that you're obeying me, they're doing it to secure their country, their nation, to they know what's going on. They're doing it with the dollar. They've known it for a while. They've been in, so, but with you, what's different about it with me, with what he's telling me is that he said, because you're doing it because I'm telling you to, and you're doing it for the people. So I'm not doing this to make PGN rich so we can have a nice studio. I mean, that's not it at all. I made this clear about 2 years ago that God told me. He said, the market mantle that I gave you is going to be for my people, just like it was in Israel. And I went, what? I didn't understand what the heck he's talking about. What do you mean? So I came on the show and I said, this is it, y'all. I got to work for the Lord. And I made it public about two and a half years ago, however long it was. And so because this is all they're doing is they're buying it, you know, I don't know all the reasons, but to get rich, to be safe, to be secure. But the reason that we're doing it, Glenn, is because we're serving the people, washing the people's feet. We're doing it just like what happened in Egypt. And the Lord said, because you're doing what I'm telling you to do, that's what's going to make it blessed. I don't know what he means by blessed. I don't know how he's going to bless it. But because we're not doing this for ourselves, it's not to make PGN rich so we can have, I can have me a nice car to ride around with plenty of this and plenty of that and have a brand new studio. No, this is for the people. And because God said, do it like that. And so I think the rarity of that, Glenn, the rarity of that, because God said, do it, and I did it in obedience, that God's going to not only make it a testimony, because people are going to start going, now, who's that guy? Who's that guy you said you're a part of? PGN, what? Randy Chandler, what? They did what? They took the money that you've been given for, you know, years or portions of it or whatever, and they took that money and made money off of it buying gold and silver, and they gave I'm not saying going to give all the money back, or you may get more than what you gave. I don't know what the measurement's going to be. He said, you mean they're actually literally giving you money? I mean, literally? Yeah. Just like it happened in Egypt. And people are going to start going, this is what's going to happen, Glenn. They're going to start going, oh, my God. I mean, why did my pastor do that? How come nobody else did that? How come nobody else saw that? How come?
What about the story of the guy that buried the coin in the yard and he didn't, you know, do anything with it, and the coin was taken from him and given them to the you know, was it the brother that did, you know, do some investing?
The one who did the most.
Yeah, he was rewarded with the coin that the brother buried because he didn't take advantage of you know, the situation. See, the thing is people have to understand the current administration and most of the people that are there right now. God has them in there because we are at the time that the American economy is going to be tanked, and they're in there purposely, you know, wanting the economic to crash. And then what their plan is, along with Klaus, what's his name, whatever is the head of the WEF, he basically wants nobody to own anything, and you know, you can rent everything from them, but they're going to create, you know, the new digital currency with a CBDC, central bank digital currency, and so it's going to be a digital money. It's not going to be paper money, and so, you know, eventually your money will either just be taken in a bank holiday. And that's disappointing for anybody to hear that one day they're going to wake up and they're going to go to their bank account and it's zero, or they can't log in, or they can't get anything.
Right.
The thing is, the issue is that they're going to convert whatever, you know, they're going to allow you to have. This is all for those that don't want to get into the new system where Texas is going, and you're going to be out of the New World Order system, that they're going to regulate things. They're going to try anyway, that everything is based on the whole lie of we're destroying the earth with carbon and whatnot. So they're going to put a report card on you as to how much red meat you eat in a week and how many farts the cow does, and then basically blame it all on that. So they're going to structure a new financial system with a bogus carbon score And then if you screw up, guess what? Because it's digital, they just turn a switch off, and what are you going to do? So
yeah,
that's exactly what they want to do. And so we have to have a system that's separate from that, and then, you know, we can just tell them to take a long walk off a short pier, and, you know, we're going to do what we're going to
do.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing that's going to happen. It's like you said, they're going to try to. They're going to try to do a lot of things. And I think they'll be successful. Of course they're going to be successful to a certain degree because the Bible says that they will, so we know they will. But at the same time, this is what I keep bringing up to people about the two witnesses. And I'm just using them as an example because it's biblically clear. They're going to be tormenting the Antichrist system. They're going to be doing things like what God's going to have me doing, very similar. I'm not the two witnesses, and I'm not one of them. I don't know. It could be Elijah and Moses. I don't really care who they are. It doesn't matter to me. But I know I'm going to be doing something very similar because part of my calling is to tear down systems that God doesn't like and to use me to prophesy against them, whatever he says he wants to do, to plague them. That's one of my anointings. It's not very wonderful when God wakes you up in the morning and says, Randy, I've given you the plague anointing. I'm going, like, thanks a lot, God. Can you give that to, like, can you give that to Glenn or somebody like that? You know, he can work that a lot better than me. But that's what happened. You know, it's kind of like he wakes me up and he goes, I've given you the plague anointing, Randy. I went, what do you mean by that? He said, to plague systems that I don't like. I went, oh, okay, that's good. So when I began to realize the purpose of it, Glenn, then so the two witnesses are going to be, in the most clear biblical account we have is the two witnesses are going to be tormenting the people who the system is trying to suck in. They're going to be everywhere the Antichrist tries to set up a system, which he's going to have a lot of it everywhere. At the same time, they're going to be going in and going, "Hey, that ain't going to happen today, buddy," because thus saith the Lord, and boom, boom, boom. And so finally, the Antichrist kills them because, man, I've had enough of y'all's crap. What do y'all think y'all doing? I'm here tearing, messing with my stuff. And so they end up killing them because their prophecy is done. It's over. It's like John the Baptist. When his thing was done, off with his head. So same thing with them. When their 3.5 years of prophecy is done, so they're going to torment them. The Bible says
everybody sends each other gifts because of their death. People celebrate for those two witnesses.
Right.
Where, you know, I don't know, what are they going to buy each other?
Which tells you what they're doing. They are known for the harassers of the world against the Antichrist system. And so when the Lord told me that I have that part of that anointing on me, and so he said, that's what I'm calling you to do. So get ready for that and start chewing on it and getting ready for it. I'm going, okay, you know, what, man, if we're going to torment the system of the Antichrist. I love that. Let's do it, man. And so he began to show me that. And of course, when the market mantle came on me and he gave me, you know, details of where bankers and market people and big money, big, big money, were calling me and asking me what the market's doing when they knew good and well I knew nothing about it. You know, all this starts happening many years ago, and it took a long time for me to grasp the fact that little old me, who knows nothing about any of this stuff, God decides to give me a mantle to show me things, and it proven it to these people who know everything about it, and yet they're calling me, literally, in Christ I lie not. I'm not talking about once or twice. I'm talking about lately, one of them called me weeping or groaning in tears on the phone. I got the voicemail. I would never expose him, but I got the voicemail. He said, "Hi, Randy, man, we need the prophetic." I mean, just like that, dude. And this guy was like, bless his heart, I love him. They're wonderful people. And I know several bankers. I know several market people, so don't think you know who they are. Some of you out there listening. So I'm trying to say that this is no game, and I'm not playing a game. People say, accuse me of, well, you know, Randy, he just asked me that. I understand, you know, but I'm sorry. What God has been showing me, it's been happening. It's going to continue to happen. And the fact that Israel declared war on Hamas on my birthday, I'm going, my God, Lord, thanks for that, man. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, what's your birthday? October the 7th, you know, the day that they declare war on Hamas. Hamas killed all the people. And the Lord says, yeah, you've been born, Randy. You are born. You're celebrating your birthday because you were born to destroy systems like Hamas or, you know, in many different ways, not just physically, but in many different ways. I'm going to use you like a hammer. I'm going to use you with a – I've seen the big sword that I have in the spirit. It's huge. I mean, when I swing that sword in the spirit, demons are screaming. I've seen it. I mean, literally. And the devil himself shows up. He's going like – the devil himself showed up and looking at me and looking in that room going like, who the heck is this? Literally like that. That literally happened in a dream vision. And so it was God just trying to show Randy, who's having a hard time going like, is this really happening? Even though it keeps happening over and over and over again. Since the mantle thing started happening to me in January 11, 2005 is when that angel came to me and opened me up to that realm by giving me five words. He said, there's a massive merger coming. That's it. Those five words, from that day on, like I said, and in Christ I lie not, market people, bankers, they found out about it, they started going, can you tell me, if I mention a company name to you, does
yeah,
it work like that for you?
I said, I
don't know. Just try it. Just try it. Just ask me and see. Because I don't know how it works. They said, okay, how about they name a company? And this is, I'm telling you, in Christ I lie not, they mentioned a company on the phone. And I'm going like, man, I don't know nothing about any of this. I don't know anything about any of it. And I started giving numbers and dates. And they said, how did you know that? I said, how did I know what? They said, the numbers you just gave me are the dates that this, you know, comes to its, you know, to an end. You just gave me the dates on that, on the very company I'm talking about. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, and they get frustrated with me like, you don't know anything about anything? I said, no, I don't know anything about that. And they went, oh, my God, Randy, this is unbelievable. So that's what they were doing. They would call me and they'd say, what about Charles Schwab? Or what about this? And what about this company? It's, you know, and information would just come right out of me. Just like that, man. Just like that. Without me knowing a thing. That right there is to confound the wise. All right, go ahead.
Well, I'm pretty much out of what I was going to say, other than the money supposedly being moved through the Ukraine realm. BlackRock is one of the top five financial institutions. And, you know, the number somebody showed me today, you know, all the trillions of dollars that are held by some of these companies, they possess like a third of all the wealth. And so, you know, it only figures that you know, these elite people, they'll steal your money and then basically either pad their own pockets or use some of it to create a war and try to get, you know, some balance that you know, just a few people will be rewarded for, but they'll basically have so many suffer. So, I mean, that's the part that really kind of hits me more than anything. You know,
right.
If God says he loves us and he'll protect us, he'll provide for us, and basically we've got this nightmare of all the booster shot. There's another shot I heard today or yesterday, another COVID vaccine that just got approved, and it's ready for you to go down to the store and get it in your arm. And the thing is,
oh, really?
No vaccine can be approved unless it goes through stringent testing. And
Right. Everything
that they've done has never gone through this testing. So whoever is
saying,
oh, it's good, they're a big fat liar. So, you know, if anybody, you know, trusts the people that tell them these things or whatever, I mean, there was an interview, you know who Ted Nugent is, right? The rocker, and then but he was interviewed by somebody, and he says, well, what couple of words would you tell people, you know, that you think that they're misled? And he went, bah, bah, you know, sheep for the slaughter. It's unfortunate that people, you know, whether or not they're pressured for their work, and they'd have to quit before they would, you know, take something like that, but, I mean, How do we go back and say, how does God allow that? That's kind of where
right.
I get to sometimes. How does God good people to end up, you know, maybe, you know, getting this vaccine and then, you know, there's all kinds of problems and whatnot. I mean, You know, yeah, and
because,
right now you got
because
all the
God
war
looked
going
at
on.
Yeah, hang on. That's a good question. But let's stop there and then I'm going to try to move on here. This has been great, though. I love this stuff. How does God do that? That's a good question. You know, but I think the overall, when you look at the Word of God, and Kenneth Copeland was the best bad teacher I've known on some of these subjects, where he just totally, you know, trying to make God look like a really good guy, twisted the Word of God to me. And, like, you know, and I used to listen to him regularly. It's not like I listened to him a couple of times. Oh, that's wonderful. No, I followed him. I followed him regularly. And I liked him. And I still love him. He's still my brother. But he taught on things trying to make God into a good guy. When you try to make God into a good guy, then you have people questioning that very thing. Why did the good guy God let that happen? Because let me tell you something, dude. God is not a good guy. He's not in the image of a good man. And most people's image of a good man varies. So when God does something, he looks at things, when you see scripture where he allowed a lot of the Old Testament people, including Israelites, to be, you know, to be swallowed up in the earth, you know, knowing that, you know, these guys just had some issues. Why are you going to let them swallowed up in the earth? And that crazy thing of, I just got swallowed up in the earth, I'm going down, and I'm sorry, Moses, I didn't mean it, it's too late now, you got to go. So God looks at everything as, all those people had a chance to receive Christ. He looks at everything in an eternal sense of this physical earth. You may take a vaccine and get messed up. You know, it's kind of like, yeah, learn to listen to God, and you won't do that. But those who do, you know, as long as they have me, as long as they accept Christ as their Savior, their life on this earth may be kind of messed up a little bit. But if they're going to be saved and be with me, that's how God looks at it. He knows that eternity, and that he knows that when the new heaven and new earth is but all those people who had all those things happen to them, it's like it's going to be like nothing. Now, if they got stuck with that forever and ever and ever, you know, and they came back and they were saved, and they came back to the earth, and they still, you know, went around twitching and stuff because they took the vaccine, that'd be different. But he knows that, so that's how God looks at things. Temporary suffering, the Bible talks about temporary suffering all over the place. So we need to somehow find a way to combine the information of suffering, what that means for us. How could he let his apostles hit their heads chopped off? All they did was obey God. How can that happen? How cruel is that? How mean is that? You see what I'm saying? We could go, because if God's really a good man, no good man would ever let his son have his head chopped off. He'd jump in there and stop the whole thing. But God is not a good man. He's not a good man. We try to make, Kenneth Copeland was one of the greatest ones at trying to make God into a good man. And old Roberts, who I love dearly and still love to this day, you know, he's gone, he kind of got that going. I don't know if he believed it quite like Kenneth Copeland did. Kenneth Copeland, I think, to the next level. But I watched all these guys, and I love these guys, and gave to the ministry, and hoped I'd be like them, you know. So it just wasn't just a couple of week thing, and then I decided they were wrong. No, I followed these guys. I listened to them. And then I'd get into scripture, read the scripture myself, find out. So if that had answered the question, I don't know what would, but that's the best that I can do. And yes, people are going to suffer. Some of us are going to get our heads chopped off. Some people might get your hands chopped off. And you're going to be suffering. You don't have hands anymore. You know, all I did was serve Jesus. How can you let that happen to me? But that's part of what happens. It's the fact is that we don't want to be in eternity in hell. That's what we don't want. And so God knows that you're going to suffer a little bit. Some people are going to suffer more than others. Some people are going to be blessed, in the sense that they're going to obey God to the strictest level, and they still might get their head cut off, but some of them are going to be very blessed. That's just the way it is. But it's the eternal thing that God looks at, that you're going to be with me forever. Yeah. So all the suffering you did will be like, so we got to quit looking at God as, why is God not being like the best man I've ever known, a good man? He's not a good man. So anyway, that's my 2 cents worth on that. After much study and after much listening to people who have caused people to think that even more so, why would God let that happen? I mean, who hasn't thought that? I've thought it many times. I've dealt with that and dealt
well,
with that.
Well, I was just kind of comparing that.
It's still painful to deal with.
If Sodom and Gomorrah got destroyed by, you know, fire and brimstone, and you know, for that outline, you would think that what's going on in Washington deserves the equivalent. And what we're looking for, you know, Wormwood to hit Washington and help us.
right. Well, here's the way I see it. That's a good point. Yeah, that's pretty good. I like that. But here's the thing that I see it as, is that right now, the White House all the other White House are the Republicans and Democrats, a bunch of sorry hypocrites who came across and told us they're going to do all these good things, knowing that they weren't going to do it, lied. You know, maybe some of them really believed it. I doubt it. Because when it came down to, like, what Trump did with Israel, none of the other ones would ever did that. They promised they would. Abortion, they never tried to stop. Trump did all that. That's why I love Trump so much. But so what's happening is, though they deserve it, but here's what's going to happen, and that people need to understand this and measure it in the word of the Lord and what's happening right now, is that God Almighty is going to allow the corrupt governments to be infiltrated by Satan himself, which is going to be the Antichrist system, so that they can become extremely powerful, to the most powerful point that Satan can be. And then he's going to go, is that all you got? And he's going to breathe on them and destroy them all in a second, you know, in the second coming. So he's got to let them come to their full power so that he can truly defeat them in the fullness of their strength and power, like they're nothing. Like, see, I told you, you know, I was God, and that he has nothing on you. If you can just believe it, your life will be a lot better. You see, so that's kind of the way I look at it. But
all righty.
All right.
Well,
thank you, man.
I'm passing my curfew.
Uh-oh.
So,
I thought I heard you snore a couple of times talking. No, I'm just kidding.
Awesome,
man. Well, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, appreciate it. And I don't know if anybody's still out there, but it's 12:27.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they're still out there.
Okay. All right.
All right, man. I don't know if nobody else has their hand up, but they're probably in shock. This whole night has been a shocking moment, I think. So, and you help shock them a little bit, so that ought to make you happy.
Well, you know, sometimes you gotta have that release. You know, I'm not going to the monk hood, you know, to sit there and go, so I have to go to the Randy's prophetic show and get on there once in a while and, you know,
there you go.
Just kind of let everybody know, you know, something that maybe they don't, and then share some things. So here we are.
Good. We did good, and I appreciate it. We love it, man. We love a lot of people have a lot of different opinions than me, and so unless I heard a definite word from the Lord, I'm open. I'm open to anything, and that's why God has to speak to me, because he knows I'm a very open person. But once he speaks to me, then it's final. Then it's kind of like, yeah, I hear you, but that ain't going to happen. Something like that. And man, we love you, my brother. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Okay.
Another time.
Thank you. Thank you, Beth. Bye-bye.
All right.
Nobody else has their hand up. Like I told Glenn, if you don't raise your hand up there and want to talk, we've got, you know, about 30 minutes. You want to share or visit or talk about something or give your opinion about something, like Glenn did tonight, did a great job on that. Get that hand up there and let's do it. We got it's 12:28, so it goes off at 1 o'clock my time. So if you want to visit, if you're not asleep, put that hand up there. Maybe you're in a state of shock, you can't talk. Just mumble. I believe that's the interpretation of your mumbling. You're saying that you think we're all full of it. Full of what? Jesus. Something like that. All right. I'm going to get crazy here. Y'all pray for me. You know, we're waiting for somebody to get their hand up. Pray for me because, you know, I just kind of shared a little bit more tonight about the purity pressure that has been on for, you know, building up for at least 5 to 6 years, you know, of just crazy stuff going on. And now, then my family thing hit, and, like, that just took it to a level that I just never even, I'm going, like, God, how can you do that to me? Like, I can't handle this. Because, yeah, I know, and because you can't handle it, I'm going to do a work in you. So that's kind of what he was doing. So that's what's been happening. And then the financial situation, the market thing, and the weight with that, promising people, oh, yeah, we're going to have a wealth transfer, and you haven't done anything about it yet? It says nothing seems to be happening? You know, am I going to lose this battle? I mean, that's what I'm thinking. I'm going, like, God, I know you said it. So I started getting kind of whiny with God and started, you know, getting, you know, very point blank with, you know, I mean, this is your thing, man. You told me to tell them that, and unless I'm just totally duped, which I know I'm not. You know, you gotta do something, because this is like, you know, I mean, I just want to get this behind me. You know, it's not about things are going. We gotta get this behind me. I can't handle this anymore. Waking up every morning for the last, you know, several months, maybe a year or so, wondering, you know, where's the deal? Where's the deal? Where's that thing you said you're going to do? Is it just some fantasy? Is it just some thing that I prophesied wrong? That am I going to look like a fool? God, did I hear you or did I not hear you? Which one is it? And so, you know, amazing, amazing how God is so gracious. And sometimes he lets us get, you know, a little bit tiffy so that we speak our heart. And I did. I spoke my heart, not an irreverence or anything, but very point blank. And I think God likes it. I think he enjoys it. So he said the fill of me for, I don't know, several months, especially the last few weeks, man. I mean, it's like it's peeking out. I got my family thing going on. And then this is not done. You know, are we going to lose? Am I going to lose? Is this all a game? Like people are accusing me of, is this all a fantasy? What is this? What's going on, God? Am I going to look like a fool? What is going on here? Am I speaking your word or not? Because I'm your name is on the line. Because you told me, and I know you told me. Dude, y'all, that was like weighing on me for months and months. And I couldn't, he gets me these things, and then I can't talk to people about it. You know, I love that, and I hate that. And I hate it. And he loves it, obviously. So that's what's been up. All right, probably nobody's even listening anyway, so I probably could talk a lot of stuff. Nobody'd ever know it, other than it being documented. Recorded. All right, I guess that's maybe it for the night. Did y'all enjoy Glenn? Enjoy talking to Nikki tonight? Wasn't it awesome? And obviously nobody else is wanting to come on right now. That's fine. Maybe you're kind of blown away. I'm blown away. I'm just so thankful that on October the 4th, that pressure was off of me. And then it took days. It's only a few days later, right now. It took days for me to like realize, okay, that's done. That was done. That was actually done. That is finished. That's why you hear me come on the show. When you hear me talking about stuff, it's because I'm like going, okay, that is done, right? It's done. It's finished. Done. Complete. Because I'm feeling, I'm hearing it myself. I'm processing it myself. So you guys have to listen to me process things. So that's what's up with all of it. All right. Got a lot more to say, but tonight obviously may not be the night. It may not be the night of the flight. Night of the flight. The flight into his arms. Hold me with your arms, Lord Jesus. Let me lean upon your breast so my head can rest in your heart, oh God, knowing that you will have your way. No matter what they say. All right, nobody's putting their hand up. So that means to me that either you fall asleep or something. Am I gonna beg unless I get told to? Yeah. All right, probably everyone's asleep. Okay. All right. Thank you very much, y'all, tonight. Nobody's getting their hand up there, so I'm going to call it a night. We will see you tomorrow. Today is Monday. Actually, today is Tuesday because it's midnight, after midnight. All right, pray for me. Please pray for me when I ask you to pray for me. Which I don't really do very often, I don't think. But please, just pray for me, all right? Yeah. There's a lot of things happening. Some of it's behind me, though. Thank you, Jesus. There's a lot more coming. All right. Bye-bye.